Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. We actually have a guest today. So my old friend, I've known him for, gosh, at least 15 years, 16 years, John will be joining us just to kind of hang out, and I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation. He's got a brilliant mind on so many different topics, so he's just going to come in and give a little input with us. And the first thing that I want to talk about, though, is this Balenciaga story. You know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but now the mainstream media is picking up on it, and The View covered it. And of course, it was just a very, slanted coverage of this story, and all to favor groomers, right? So basically, we're going to downplay a pretty horrific story. Basically, if you guys were here last week, Balenciaga, a Christmas campaign with child models, modeling BDSM child backpacks. So not good. And just the way that The View covered it, and we know that, The View is not really on our side, but just the way it really still, bothers me when people go out of their way to protect child groomers. So with that, Elizabeth is with us. If you want to just push one, Elizabeth, I'll let you in. And then we can, I'd love to get her take on this too. So let's see.
How do you work?
Hello, lovely.
How are you, darling?
Doing good. How are you doing? Are you feeling better?
I am much better, much better. Tell me, what is this Twitter you go on and on and on about? I'm much better, matter of fact. And I woke up in one day. I was like, my eyes opened, and I was like, oh, my God, I feel great. Before I got out of bed, which never happened. You know, that feeling goes away as soon as you're like, oh, my God, I got to get up. But, yeah, it was like magic. And now I'm back to the old woman aches and pains and stuff. But that thing, it was 2 weeks of just feeling like shit. And so I'm not quite as crabby as I was. I can talk Twitter, even though it's kind of silly. But only because it's not the real world. There's a certain percentage of people that are on Twitter. There's a bigger percentage that are on Facebook. And then the rest of the world, they still don't even participate in what goes on the phone. They only go by what The View says or what CNN says. So it's like layers of how relevant is this? And it's kind of look what they want you to do is to zoom in and focus upon, the P.T. Bailey, the Barlam and Bailey, the first guy that had the new zoo review, the circus. It was
the circus.
There
was
no such thing. Yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? And it's like the more bad publicity you can get, the bigger your career goes. Because they're like, who the fuck is, what are they talking about? And that's almost what's going on here. It's like this nonstop bullshit about Twitter and these stories that, I don't know, maybe or may not be important, take you into where they want you down this way. They want you into the next one is TikTok. And who cares about TikTok? That is the trampoline for us who get censored to make videos. But as far as TikTok, no. But now everybody's going to be like zooming down that slide to go into TikTok. And these are avenues where they make money off of your attention. And
right.
To deflect, and here's my thing, is it's deflecting off of the real fucking criminals. The real people who are out there abducting, stealing, and doing God knows what to these children are out on the streets free, while we're like worried about some made up fucking cartoon character, Valencia, of whoever the fuck that is, that's now captivating everyone's minds into the land of Kim Kardashian, who didn't they lose their reality show the minute that Bruce decided he wasn't going to be an athlete anymore? And now here, now they're still relevant because look at the weird shit doing to our kids. But that takes your mind off of the real creep down the street, you know, that's fucking stealing
your kids.
Well,
this isn't just a,
you know?
Okay, so this is the whole, yes, exactly, but this, what Balenciaga
and
did
one other
time,
thing, though?
Uh-huh.
But one other thing, though, the actual who really fucking stole the election, it wasn't Twitter, and it wasn't Dorsey, and it wasn't Zuckerberg, and it wasn't the fucking banksters. It was the evil, you know, and had they not, like, stayed out of that, out of the social media realm, they cheated, and they want you to think that it happened because of a few little apps on your phone, not the real corruption. That's my thoughts on that. So you go. Your turn. Tag your it.
Okay. Well, we have – John is actually with us now, so I'm going to let him in. Let's see. Here we go. Hello, John. Are you with us?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Danielle?
Doing great. I'm so
can
glad
you
could join us.
Okay.
Elizabeth is – yeah, Elizabeth is the other person on the line. And, okay, so let me just set up this story because, you know, so the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to talk about a story, and I have an audio to play with it. And this is a Jimmy Dore, right? And do you know Jimmy Dore? Have you heard of Jimmy Dore, John?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What?
Sorry.
The first progressive you're going to love.
Maybe I have, but I just didn't remember the name. Like, that happens to me a lot.
Okay.
It's possible.
Well, probably not. I mean, I don't think you really run in the progressive comedy scene. So, you know, it's possible you haven't heard of him, but we're going to turn you on to a really, really awesome content provider. He started out on the left and started asking questions, and the left turned on him. And the story that
I've
we're
definitely heard this story
Jimmy,
before. I mean, maybe
yeah,
not a specific one, but it's pretty common theme nowadays.
Right, exactly. So, the brand Balenciaga is a high fashion brand. I don't, you know, swim in those worlds, you know, either. But this basically is a Christmas ad campaign that they rolled out with child models that modeled BDSM bears with their like
holy
black
shit
and blue eye and bondage leather, like, and especially at a time where, you know, people are saying don't say the word groomer, right? It's really important that I've said this before, but these people think that they can do whatever they want and they have to tell us. Right. And so they just put this stuff right out in the open saying there's no such, if you're saying, you know, the word groomer, then, you know, that's a right wing trope, you know, and trying to be.
But I have to ask, you know, it's like, I have to ask, like, where are the parents of these kids that are doing this stuff? I don't know if I can swear on here. So.
No, you can. It's pretty uncensored.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
And the parents are right there signing the, you know, collecting the paychecks and thinking that it's so cool, right? But,
yeah.
Okay, so then I'm going to play this clip, this audio. I'd like you guys to listen. Mute your microphone, John, while we're listening. But another really cool thing about this episode is his co-host, his name is Craig, has another progressive show. It's called The Combo Couch. He interviewed me when I ran for Congress and actually voted for me when I ran governor. Voted for me when I ran for governor and said it on his show.
You swayed him.
And this is a pretty well-watched, you know, show. So let me just pull this up. I should have been doing that the whole time, but let's see.
So, John, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'm right there with you. Didn't know who Jimmy Dore was until Danielle turned me on to him. And to answer your question about where are the parents, that are on board with this are generally these high-paid, no-talent, no-career celebrities that parade
sure
their children around. And then we, as little, you know, we got to do everything they do because we watch The View and we watch whatever. That's how this works as a circle. But it doesn't, it has, you know, that's where it's coming from. And it's kind of like they – poo-poo us and call us all kinds of names when we stand up and say, oh, dear God, no, this is not what we're doing. You know,
they're going to call you the names, but that's because they're losing. Like, that's what people do when they're losing an argument, is they call you names. So don't worry about that, because the people that are listening or seeing these interactions, when the other guy starts or person starts calling you names, they know that that person lost. They know. So don't worry about the name calling.
Yep. Okay. Here we go. So I'm going to play this clip. Mute your audio when you when I start, and then we'll discuss afterwards. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
There's this fashion outlet called Balenciaga. They're very high end fashion, and they did these creepy photos with kids in it holding BDSM stuff and teddy bears with BDSM on it, and it's gross. And so we covered it, and it's gross, sexualizing children like that. But the only thing, now, what could be funnier or what could be worse than that? What could be worse than them doing that? The View having an opinion on it. If there, and if there's anybody out there in the world who says that they don't watch The View, ironically, I am not going to believe them. Okay, so watch how they cover this. Hey, Joy, can you make it about Trump? Let's see.
So fashion house Balenciaga, a very, you know, posh, is under fire for a controversial fetish-themed ad campaign featuring child models, okay? Balenciaga blames the production company for the ads. They have a kid posing with S&M stuff. But the set designer says Balenciaga executives were on the set. They knew what was happening. Are they taking a page from Trump's notebook and say, I didn't know. I didn't know nothing. I know not. I know.
Oh, my God.
That's the best you can do to tie Trump to this? That wasn't good enough, Joy. That's the best way you can tie Trump to this? Okay, here we go.
Nothing. I say nothing. What's going on here?
I found this ad campaign particularly distasteful in this moment. So
I like how she refers to it as distasteful.
You got to be kidding me.
She calls it distasteful. Okay.
Anti-LGBTQ sentiment right now, and how it's being framed is as portraying, you know, trans people as groomers. This is a term you'll hear on the far right. They're groomers. This is where you get the anti-drag queen stuff that we're seeing.
So that's Alyssa Farah Griffin, and she's bringing the focus on what's really important here. It's not that the kids were put in an S&M-themed bondage ad deliberately. It's that it might add fuel to the fire about groomers, which is a totally made-up right-wing thing. Except for this one Balenciaga ad, which I guess shows it's not. You tell me. You got anything to say, Craig, yet? You can jump in anytime you want. I'm going to stop and start this video. It's unbelievable.
I'm just lost for words. I don't know what I can say about this thing.
Let's continue.
I just think it's weird that they're saying the term distasteful.
Distasteful.
This is beyond distasteful. This is exploiting children. That's not distasteful. That's criminal. Back to Jimmy.
Thank
child
you.
Models, they said, by the way. These child models. No, these are children.
These are children. Child models. So let's get a running start at this because I think what she's saying
they're groomers. This is where you get the...
Okay. I don't even know you're allowed to say that word. Okay, let's see what she says.
As portraying, you know, trans people as groomers. This is a term you'll hear on the far right. They're groomers. This is where you get the anti-drag queen stuff that we're seeing. So Balenciaga played right into their hands by having kids in a sexualized manner, carrying something that represents, you know, sex acts. I think it was a really bad misstep at a moment where it's just kind of a dangerous time to even give credence to those kind of insane.
So it's not what Balenciaga did. It's that Balenciaga gave credence to, they're not bad people at Balenciaga putting kids in S&M ads. It's that it helped someone else's bad. Do you see that? How? Thanks a lot, Balenciaga. You're giving credence to these insane takes that rich elites are satanic creeps. And what's worse, people may trust child drag shows even less now. The elites are a bunch of satanic creeps. Do you know what Jeffrey Epstein is? Do you know Bill Clinton was on his flight 27 times? Do you know Bill Gates? Do you know all of them? You know that's why they had to kill him? Okay, here we go.
Distasteful.
Won't someone please think of the drag queens in this situation?
They said misstep, by the way. Oh, it was just a misstep. We put kids, you know, exploiting.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even show the picture because it's so distasteful. But what's also very distasteful is, like, Balenciaga lately, I mean, their stuff is just ugly. I mean, the bag that their little girl is holding is ugly. Do you remember when Kim came?
Finally, Sunny Hostin comes in with the best take of all. The designs were ugly. That's the real crime here, a fashion crime. This is amazing.
Kay was dressed in Balenciaga for the gala.
She loved
the Met Gala. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
She looked like a bat or something. I mean, so they are, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if their intent is to be subversive and draw attention to the issues.
Oh, really?
Or are they just making ugly things?
What I don't understand is how they can sue somebody when they designed a bag for their holiday season. The bag is shaped like a teddy bear wearing bondage gear. Now, it takes hundreds of people.
Ugly.
It takes hundreds of people in a fashion house like Balenciaga to approve a design, to approve an ad campaign. So I'm sorry, you guys. I know you're trying to cover your ass, but you got bigger problems than. You got to look inside your house because you've got people who are not doing their job well and who have no damn common sense.
And anyone who's working. You got to look into your house when they don't have any common sense. Are you kidding me? They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly that what their models were going to be, children, and that the children were going to be displayed with S&M stuff around them. That's it. Because it's acceptable in our society to exploit children. And none of these women are saying shit about the exploitation of women. That's the most shocking part about this.
Well, The View is such a harmful portrayal of women, isn't it? Because it depicts five female stooges who can't even muster up the gravitas of three male stooges. Craig, you want to say anything about this?
Well, I have a question. I was kind of curious to what Steph was thinking over there. Steph, do you think this is about grooming society? You know what I'm saying? About more about like we obviously know. You know, they said they were suing the company who did the commercial, but we know 100 executives or whatever there are, they're gonna say, let them just go ahead and do a commercial without them knowing exactly what was going on. I mean, we have to realize that they knew exactly what was going on. But why did they do this? Was this about grooming the society? About planting seeds? I don't know.
I first think that I don't belong to the culture of fashion. Like, that's not like a part. Like, I'm not going to go to Fashion Week in New York. I don't even know of this name brand. You know, I don't really follow name brands, you know. So I find all of these women are probably slaves to fashion. They probably have access to all the designers on The View. They all seemed kind of like, this is a silly oopsie that Balenciaga did, right? Instead of the outrage on behalf, aren't some of these women on this panel parents? So they would be okay with their child being displayed and they signed off on it. Again, I think it's weird that the first woman talked about grooming already, you know, about, or just she took the point of view that, oh, you know, our culture is all, you know, about.
What's bad about this?
Discouraging LGBT. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what she looks at this and she immediately thinks about another subject.
That wasn't the subject at all. That was weird.
How is this going to affect drag queens? That's what she thought about. This is gonna be bad for them, not for the kids. She'd give a shit about the kids in the story.
No, she had no position on the story.
Let's see. There's more to this.
Like, what she was doing though was like almost the same thing they did when they appointed KGP or Karine Jean Pierre. You know, they put this like invisible shield around to protect. So in other words, they're using this subject to go and say, oh, look at the trans people and whatnot. They're putting like an invisible shield around this issue so you can't attack it that much, or you won't want to, because then if you are talking about it, you might be offensive towards trans people or whatnot. I mean, that's what I'm seeing.
Let's see. I think there's a little bit more to this.
Company, it doesn't take a fashion house. Any company you work in, we all complain of bureaucracy and how many nets and loops and how many eyeballs and lawyers and standards have to look at every single thing. There is no world in which that was not seen on the front end, on the set. Seen to approve the picture.
They like the
seen
ugly
to,
stuff. That's like been happening over and over again. They had a garbage bag shaped like a trash bag.
So the blonde woman almost made a good point, but thank God Sonny Hosen's there to bring it back to complete fucking idiocy. Thank God. Thanks, Sonny, for steering that boat back to Dingbat Beach. She went back to how ugly this stuff is.
And it was $1,790.
Were they in the potato chip bag too?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I think they
want
the
Frito-Lay bag.
Don't you remember what's her name?
So now they're all complaining about how ugly the stuff is. They've barely talked about what's happened. they're doing is talking about how ugly their stuff is. I wonder why people. Boy, they're really doing a lot to for women.
Kim Kardashian was wrapped in crime tape that said Balenciaga from head to toe.
Oh, I don't remember.
It must
that
have
one.
Hurt to take off.
Maybe we're getting punked.
I think
it's falling out. Campaign
is
for
it,
us to
is
say.
It a subversive campaign?
But for the record, Kim Kardashian, who was the ambassador for this brand, is reevaluating her relationship with Balenciaga.
Yeah.
Okay, so just saying.
Oh, yeah. And I have
and,
a legal
oh, here, note. We have a note.
Balenciaga has apologized and is taking legal action against
their
the production company, North Six, and set designer Nick.
So they won't stop. It's amazing. To the very end. Are they apologizing for how ugly their clothes are? This is amazing.
Phyllis Desjardins, an agent for Desjardins, said everyone from Balenciaga was on the shoot and was present on every shot and worked on the edit of every image in post-production, adding that he is being used as a scapegoat and is hiring a legal team. North Six has declined to comment on the allegations.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. That's the news from The View, huh? Isn't it fantastic? That's a talk show that airs during the day when women are home. That's the whole idea. Craig, anything else you want to say about this?
I just still don't know. I want to know why they did this, what this is about. I mean, I believe this is tied into the deeper, you know, the bigger picture, whatnot, what they're trying to do to society. And, you know, it's this is the grooming of the children, and they're just making it more acceptable now. Like, you know, and I don't know.
So you are saying that what Balenciaga was doing is grooming. You are saying that.
I'm saying they 1,000% knew what that blonde lady was saying. They 1,000% knew what they were doing. Why did they do it? This is part of the bigger picture, the grooming, whatnot. I don't know. Maybe you can get Ye on to tell us what Balenciaga was about before they ditched him, Jimmy, because I'd like to know a little bit more about the company itself, because this seems very, very Epstein kind of creepy-like.
Very Epstein creepy-like. This wasn't an accident. This was thought about. They talked about it. I got my degree in marketing communications, which is advertising, and I've been an actor. I used to audition for commercials for the first 20 years of my life in Los Angeles. Believe me, they go over every ad with a fine tooth comb and a microscope, and nothing gets out that they don't approve 100,000%. So, yeah. I mean, not one person, not two people, thousands of fucking people. There had to be at least, I bet you, 25 to 30 people at least okaying that going on.
Well, you know, I have to say that after watching this The View interview, I was kind of relieved to hear that Kim Kardashian was going to reevaluate her relationship with Balenciaga.
Yeah, they're in trouble, Balenciaga, now.
Because, you know, I think it's great that she's, you know, being presented as like the moral compass here.
Yeah.
What a relief, because, you know, we all know how she came to fame. Anyways, back to Jim.
Okay.
Reevaluated. Put another zero on the contract. Now my reevaluation's done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think she said it. What she said, that Kim Kardashian is reevaluated. Like, they're in trouble now. Kim Kardashian's going to pull her.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're doing live stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, December 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. And we're going to be in Tempe, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Nashville. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for all those tickets. See you there.
Wow. Okay. Mom is with us. We're going to say a quick hello, and then I would like to get everybody's thoughts on this video, so starting with John. So
hi. How
are you there?
Everybody? Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you.
Yeah, loud and clear. Happy Sunday.
Okay. So
maybe John's got to mute a little bit, maybe.
I want to make the point, first of all, I pressed one when I heard you guys talking or asking the question, where were the parents? The parents were on the photo shoot. The parents worked for Balenciaga.
Yep.
And it's disgusting. Okay. So hi, it's good to talk to you all, and I'll just wait until you until we have a comment, okay?
Okay. All right, John, if you're there, press unmute, and then I'd love your thoughts on this.
Press unmute? Am I muted?
Yeah,
hello?
No, you're good. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm definitely on board that it's awful. It shouldn't happen. I think ultimately the safety and well-being of children falls on the parents. And the thing is, I don't really know how much you really want to sort of encroach on that. So as far as the solution, I mean, getting out the message is really good, like what you're doing here, and that's great. But I don't really know if there's a solution, legally speaking, because encroaching, I think, too much on parental responsibility is not a great idea. And it opens up the door for a lot of really bad things. But I think really mostly what you can do is kind of what you're doing now and making people aware of it and talking about it. The people can, make their consumer choices accordingly. Like that's what you do with private industry. They don't have any real power. So it's like they only have the power to make an offer, and we have the freedom to reject it. That's the beauty of the free market. So making people aware, and maybe people will make different consumer decisions, when it comes to this kind of thing. And then the other thing is just parental responsibility. You know, it's like, don't do that to your kids. It's not worth the money. You know, people will maybe don't know that. So
I think there's more nefarious things going on than just, you know, parents not being clued in to what's going on. I think that they pay children for a reason.
That. Well, I mean,
but yeah,
partially
but good,
it's because
but good
for the money, right? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true. That's definitely true. There could be some in there that, you know, just really want the money, you know, but I think at this level, this is high fashion, right? They're not, you know, browsing some unknown children. Like, all of these children, I think, were picked for a reason. And unfortunately, I think there's, you know, without going into the story details.
Oh, you mean like a history of abuse or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure. I have a theory.
Okay.
This is my opinion and my theory, but I think all of those children were already being molested, and that's why they were chosen. Yeah.
Oh,
so I
okay.
Could be wrong.
Well, you have to say
God,
that.
God, I want to be wrong.
You have to say
God,
it.
Please
though.
Let me
you,
be wrong.
You have to say it. But yeah, you have to say it because not talking about that stuff makes people very alone. Like you have to say it. I mean, I was molested when I was 7, and I know people don't like to say stuff like that generally, but like, if you don't say it, then everyone else who might be going through something like that is alone because they don't know. So to me, it's important when you spot that you have to say it.
And every one of us knows somebody who was molested, whether we know it or not, every single one of us knows somebody who was molested. This is the colonial season.
And the worst part about that, too, is going through that and having nobody to tell or to talk about. And a lot of families, they want to keep this image and this put out this sort of image of a, like, great family and everything's great and all that. And you can't get anywhere if you're in that situation, if you're in that kind of a family where they want to put all the image of a perfect family out, then you're just destroying the image, and it makes people really alone at a young age. That's how I grew up, and it was awful.
Right. Exactly right. I'm sure you've heard the term pedo-gate, right, John?
Yeah, pedo-gate. I don't know. Is that like Pizzagate, or is it something new?
Yeah, pedo-gate is the umbrella of terms of you know, hashtags, you know, and
everything
so
falls
Pizzagate
under.
Falls under pedo. Exactly. So, and my definition of pedo-gate is the sexual abuse of children and the systematic cover up that follows on the highest level. Up to the highest levels, down to the lowest level. I could do a whole show on Pedogate. I'm like one of the first actually Pizzagate, not the first, but one of the original researchers of Pizzagate. So we could do that, you know, but you're right. And that's really at the heart of this story and why I played this clip. So thank you for that. Let's go to Elizabeth next.
Excellent points, John. And I just was going to put your cherry on your Sundays, the Menendez brothers. They couldn't take it anymore either. It's so prolific what goes on, and kids will snap at some point in time. And they don't talk enough about those and what happened to them and why they ended up killing their parents because of just years and years of abuse and having to play the part of the perfect family. And that, with that being said, though, back to this, and that goes on everywhere on so many different levels. That kind of is why we are where we are, is because we've been like living this repressed life of the 50s, and everything needs to be transparent and inclusive and blah blah blah. We've gone out crazy to crazy limit, right? And now we've got Kim Kardashian. If she's going to be my moral compass, I saw a picture of her and her little kid walking through the streets with a bondage mask on that looked like a yellow elephant. And that was the fascist statement from this little, her sponsor.
When was that?
It was on Twitter. It came through my feed. It's on Twitter. You know, she's starting to, you know, tell Kanye that he's a bad parent and blah, 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 and here she is walking through the streets. And no wonder Kanye is worried about his kids, because look what she's doing to them. And the older ones are walking around with this. And it is a bondage mask, but it's got like an elephant snout.
Are you talking about like an actual like mask that you know, a face diaper, or is it like a special one?
It's like a bondage mask, a bondage hood. And this is, but it's the Valencia like the Gucci bag. It's kind of like a product of this Valencia that you've never heard of before. You know, what happened to Vera Wang and, you know, all these people? And here's another. It's like all of a sudden that Valencia's going to roll off everyone's tongue, and we're going to be buying everything that comes out, despite the fact that they are, you know, doing a shoot that here reminds me of. Remember when Brooke Shields did the Vanderbilt? She's half naked wearing jeans. She was 13 years old. Her mother almost went to jail over that because of the public outcry after the fact. They were like, wait a minute, she's 13 years old. Look at her. And she was everywhere. Every billboard in Manhattan, she was so famous until they figured out, oh, my God, she's a little girl. A little girl being sold as a sex symbol. Then all those billboards went away. And it was kind of like, and even Vanderbilt jeans were like, ooh, nobody wanted to wear them anymore. And then, can you find, are they out there? No, they're not. But it's, that's kind of what's going on here is, you know, the big, you know, Lady Godiva of morals, Kim Kardashian, is pulling away from this whole scandal because they're trying to make it's okay because there were adults, not only adults. Now, listen to how many times it was worded. It was the heads of the company were witnesses. They were on the set, so everything was okay. They knew it was wrong, but the adults were there watching, so nothing bad happened. What do you mean, wait? We want different adults in charge, number one. And number two, what you did is really prosecutional in many, many jurisdictions around the country. So depending on where you are, doesn't matter who you were, you're the adult, they're the child, and look at this is some type of weird sex thing going on. It doesn't matter if it was a commercial or not, and that's against the law in many parts of the country. And I wonder where that shoot was at, actually. Was it in this country, or was it maybe in France? I don't know. But the public outcry
could easily have been in this country.
It will bring it down.
Could have easily been in this country. Are you saying that there's different laws in those countries?
There's different laws all over the world. That's why, you know, if you run over to Sweden or England, they've got different. Look into it. What's illegal over here is not illegal over there, and vice versa. They have different.
Well, I know, but
numbers.
What I'm saying is that I don't think that our country has laws that. Okay, so think about this. So when hold on. If you're a female or male prostitute, you can go to jail. It's against the law for that interaction, for prostitution. Obviously, it's always illegal when we're talking about children, but when we're talking about adults, it's still illegal, right? Unless there's a caveat to that. And do you know what that caveat is?
The age of consent.
No. If you're
below the age of consent, you immediately go to jail. That's where this whole shoot was below the age of consent. The children.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that it doesn't matter because even prostitution in my analogy, prostitution is illegal no matter if you are at an age to consent, correct?
That is true.
Unless you record it. And now it's a different category. So I'm saying that in America, you know, there's a reason that board members or whatever, employees, went to jail over this because they have different rules. You're right. But I'm saying in America, it's just as easy in America to do these kind of things and, as it is in other places. Does that make sense?
It does, but see, when did this happen? This just happened, right? Nobody's had time to file charges because what happened was illegal in many, many places. It's immoral, number one, and they made a very.
We're talking about
that
the Balenciaga ad. What I'm saying is, it was not illegal because it was being recorded.
Like I said, Brooke Shields' mom almost went to jail over the public outrage of she's 13 years old and half naked at a photo shoot. So
what year was that?
This just happened. Oh, 78. I'm going to say 77, 78. But nonetheless, the guy that was saying, this is not child grooming. This is the public being groomed to accept this. And obviously many people are not accepting this. Even the View people are having a little bit of a hard time here and there, trying to justify and, you know, throw it at, you know, this is all Trump's fault. That's so funny. But the fact that even Kim Kardashian, and then now it's all okay because even Kim's not going to have anything to do with it, so everything's okay. Not the fact that, wait a minute, look at little children who, if you want to go back to JonBenet, she was groomed as being a little beauty pageant pinup girl when she was five and killed when she was, what, eight, right? And here are these little models. If anything, can you open up the can of worms as to what – and that was what went with Brooke Shields' mom, the stage mother syndrome of what they put their child through so in order for them to be famous vicariously through their child. And they talked about Judy Garland and many others. JonBenet Ramsey,
Shirley Temple,
all of these little girls,
Corey
Feldman, in this horrible. Exactly, but these little girls sitting there with like what I didn't even see all of it, but it sounds pretty bad. But if this wasn't their only photo shoot, can you imagine what kind of childhood these children are having? And you know, where are the child labor laws they had fought so hard for at the turn of the century? Maybe we need to tweak those a little bit. Maybe we need to really look at what is legal and what is not legal? And I wonder if this
ironically, I know about this because my son was a child model. Never actually got a booking, but we had to go. We were taken up by an agent basically, and given one showing that was canceled in LA. But he was a damn cute baby, and so I'm like, yeah, maybe he can be a baby model, they wanted to pay us. We weren't paying them. It wasn't like a scam. But, you know, we didn't end up actually getting any work because I think it had to do with how I reacted in the interview. Like, they wanted to take him in the back by himself on these, you know, these basically like casting, LA castings. They wanted to take him away by himself, and I was like, no.
My God.
So I think maybe that's why we didn't get chosen, but I was still, could have been Aiden, honestly. I was still very naive. I was still very much a neoliberal at the time, you know? And so.
But even then, you had the sense to, like, you know, you're not going to get my kid without his parents around. So that's good.
Exactly. But I wonder how many parents are like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I wonder
how
many
of
those.
I can't imagine that.
That's disgusting.
Right.
To think. They would be that naive to think that anybody that wants to have a child away from you has anything.
Yeah, most kids
exactly.
are terrified in that situation. Being away from their parents and by themselves and with a I would never
and
do that.
He was 9 months old when maybe a little older. I'm sorry. He was probably a year old. He was probably one.
Can you tell me what year that was, Daniel?
Oh gosh, at 9 months. Oh, well, it was 2007, 9 months old.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So,
I'm
but
sorry,
that was
and of course.
Yeah, no problem.
And of course, the excuse was they wanted to see what he would be like uninhibited, right?
Exactly.
Oh,
I believe so. And even back then in my haze, I was like, no, hell no, you're not taking my kid away from me. Why can't I be in the room? No, I'm not going to do that, you know? But I wonder what, you know, a percentage of parents would have.
Well, apparently, a few.
A lot.
So they're out there, right? So
they really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to go get
this.
But to Elizabeth's point, just really quick, that's why I know that children can work at that age, because we had to go and apply for a worker's permit for modeling, had to get the doctor to sign off, had to get, you know, various agencies to sign off. Yeah, right. So
that was not my point. It was the point of what they were doing. You know, you can
I know that was a very small
but Brooke, you know, she didn't have all her clothes off, but she was it was like very risque. The
right,
shop
exactly.
Took of her. And also this
absolutely.
Year, this is like holy cow, a whole different, this goes into like perversion, bondage, children, drag queens, this all meddles into this, what are you willing to accept as a society? And we're like, not this. But they were like,
exactly.
We want you to because Kim Kardashian's doing it. And what do you mean this is all, you know, their excuse is almost just like having the fucking, the interns in the Oval Office trying to tell us about the budget in the Ukraine and Afghanistan. You know, it's like the worst excuse in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that this is more so not about child grooming, but grooming the population to accept what they want us to accept. Bottom line, that's my thoughts on this. And I don't really think it is legal. If you were to take this to, just like there's a guy here, he was a mayor of one of these suburbs in Chicago that took the CRT, some sort of coloring book of some sort. This new sex ed book that they want to put in the schools, which I think they did in a lot of them. Because, you know, we stand for Ukraine, and we also have Stanford those books to be in our schools. There's a lot of suburbs that did it. But this one was the biggest, best, where he took that book to his friend, and he was the mayor of, I think, Evanston, I'm not sure, or Elmhurst, and took it to his friend, the judge, who said, oh, my God. He goes, well, is this considered child pornography? And is this, oh, yes. Well, he gave everybody on that school board 24 hours to rethink what they're doing because they could be prosecuted as child something or other. They broke a law, according to what the judge said, if this is what they're putting. This is what they are giving to children to look at because it had pictures of how to give masturbation and fellatio to five-year-olds.
Well, I mean, that's – I like the way what Ron DeSantis did with that. Like, he put a lid on it in Florida. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But not the other states. You know, so where's
the
law?
Okay, and for the record, just so you know, Elizabeth is in Illinois, in Chicago area. So it's like almost as bad as what?
Cool. Yeah, I'm a trucker, and I go from like Lansing, and then I go up to the Chicago area. I'm up in the UP right now, up into Wisconsin. I deliver to Meijer stores, so I go through there all the time. Yeah, I've probably delivered to your local Meijer store before, more likely.
Cool. Out on Randall Road? Yeah, cool. Yeah, we will have a couple. Yep. I'll give you my number. Yeah, I'll give you my number.
So all I'm saying is that you know, Illinois is in the pit of hell just like we are here in California.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And but Michigan isn't a lot better, but it is better.
Yeah, it is. The law should apply. The law is not okay in Illinois because we passed our own laws to circumvent that. But in Florida, their laws are different.
Exactly.
I'm really curious as to where this was filmed at. Where this was that the CEOs were there like, but the heads of the company, have you ever heard of any kind of a ridiculous story ever? And I'm sorry, but the heads of the company would never go to any photo shoot unless they were having a spirit cooking festival. You know, it doesn't make sense. Mm. That's the lamest damn excuse. And something is up there, and they're covering up something. So,
of course, we know that, and you know, we already know what they're covering up.
See what develops, you know, whether mainstream media does get a conscience and a moral compass of some sort.
Another aspect is the mainstream media, like, they're not going to get a moral compass, and I don't think they're going to change. CNN, I think, kind of is trying to, but they're going to sink. Like, they're sinking. Give it about 10 years and pretty much all their viewers will have passed away from old age. Like, you can put a fork in mainstream media now.
Or
they're not going to change. Or the vaccine?
Yeah, old age or the vaccine. But all of the CNN, Rachel Maddow on, you know, CNBC, all of them are going to be dead. You know, I'm sorry.
I never took the vaccine just because to me it's like, you know, I can handle being sick. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I don't have any issues with my immune system. Like, I'm pretty much not going to die from this thing. Like, I'll just be sick for a while.
Right.
So it's not worth the unknown risk.
Let me ask you real quick. So the vaccine issue with the truckers was only over the country. Out of the country driver.
The Canadian border. That's the Canadian border crossing. Yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
And were you able to go, even though you're unvaccinated?
I never went to Canada. I never done Canada runs, so it didn't really.
Oh, okay. So just right up to the border, and then, okay, all right.
No, I don't go there. I go from, like, Lansing and then Chicago area, Wisconsin, and all that, so I don't go through that across the border.
Driving. That was the big thing was a lot of them, they do make more money when you go over the border and it's longer routes. Just like I could get the IDOT. I don't do the IDOT because I stay in state with my license. Mm-hmm. But if I wanted to spend the extra $10 and I could go all over the world, you have to do other things to get your physical. And those guys, to stay with their company unless they were independent. Now, I think that's where our backbone and our last resilience or pocket of resistance is the independent truck drivers, the ones that don't have to do it. A company says.
Well,
they're the ones.
That's definitely true. That's definitely true. But there's also a factor that I think people don't realize in trucking is that companies need drivers really freaking bad. And they really, like, they can't force too much on their drivers. Like, I can get away with a lot of crap. Right. Like, I mean, like, I don't push it too hard. But they need drivers so bad, like, they're not going to push hard. And it's so easy for me as a driver. Like, if my company said I had to do something, I didn't want to do, take the vaccine or whatever, I just quit, and a week later I'd be in another truck with another company, hands down. So
because they're desperate.
Even the companies can't, even the companies can't really press too much on drivers. But you are right that the ICs, independent contractors, have a lot more freedom. Because there was that, I remember there was some kind of freedom convoy thing a few years back that forming to go to D.C. or something. Like, I couldn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I drive a company truck. So, you know, that'd be grand theft auto.
Yeah. They did make it to D.C.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think
they did
make it the
whole
way in. They did?
They did. And they made it a point known that we do have numbers. And
yeah,
they were
well,
a little bit
and
like,
truckers.
Oh,
and the truckers have a lot of power. I mean, I don't think we'll ever be that united because truckers also tend to be pretty independent and, like, libertarian doing their own thing. But, like, truckers have power because all the cities, like, they're going to – the cities aren't going to manage without constant freight coming in. You know, the stores I deliver get probably three
trailers a day. Unless they are growing food locally.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your big box stores are the ones that use John and his companies. You know, this railroad strike that was it was a domino effect. I know it, and I love this conversation. The domino effect from the convoy was that they did fire lots of guys, and in order to make up for that. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I see it all the time because I'm on the expressways. I look down to the railroad track. There is a train going so slow, and if they could, they'd put three stacks of trailers, but they got double-stack trailers on each car that should be on the back of a big rig on the roads. But they're not because they don't have enough truckers. And why don't they have enough truckers? Oh, they pushed that mandate, didn't they? Yes, they did. But now these trains can barely function, and the people that work the railroads are like, oh, my God, you're killing us. We need something. We need a break, and they just, you know, we want a raise, and who knows what they wanted. But now the government stepped in, the lovely government came and said, I'm sorry, we passed the law. You can't go on strike. I can't wait for the whole fucking country to go on strike on Monday because, you know, you can't.
Oh, it's Monday.
I can't wait for that day. Okay, all right. Like, I'm going to have to rein in this conversation. I would love to continue it, but we're totally off rails on the BDSM bears in high fashion. So, Mom,
do we
want to get her opinion?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. So, yeah, I got a lot to say. First thing, you were talking about the laws that were governing the photo shoot. I don't know what country the photo shoot was in, but there were disturbing images, obviously, of the BDSM bears, but there was a whole lot more to it. In the photo shoot were pictures of glasses of wine, empty glasses of wine next to the children. There was paperwork all over the desk next to them. They were in a bedroom, first of all, on a bed with the BDSM bears with really crazy-looking makeup, okay? Children, toddlers, they were 3 or 4 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And again, their parents were in the room. And on the desk next to them was a court case, a Supreme Court case talking that was a fight to make pedophilia legal. there were all kinds of little weird things in this photo shoot that they were sending a message. We can do this, and yes, this is about pedophilia. So your Jimmy Dore spot was spot on, Danielle, because him going after what those freaking Harridans on the View said about it, well, gee, it was terrible fashion and gave the right ammunition about grooming. They are grooming. They are grooming children. They are coming after your kids. They do want to make pedophilia legal. That's the next letter in the LGBTQ list. It's coming. Okay, so having said that, yes, they're coming for your kids. They're just misunderstood. They're minor attracted adults and
people,
you know, minor attractive people.
Maps.
Yes, yes. So they're freaking pedos. They are child. They kill babies' souls. And so the first thing I want to say is to you, John, thank you for sharing your story today. You're absolutely correct. The more people that share their story, the harder it will be for these groomers to get away with what they do. Keeping the secrets in families is one of the keys to healing this and to helping the children that go through it is helping them to tell their story. Part of the grooming process is getting the child to keep the secret and the family to keep the secret. And it's the saddest part. I call it the second violation. It's just devastating. So thank you for sharing your story. And maybe I hope that there were people listening that heard you say that maybe will take the steps that they need to share their story too.
Yeah, they should. It helps.
They should.
But you got to be picky too, because sometimes it can be damaging if you share it with the wrong person. So you got to.
It's true.
I don't really know how to explain all that, but.
Yeah, appropriate. Yeah.
And there's no, you know, and John, just for the record, there's no last names associated with this. So we're just, your name's John here. And so, you know, this isn't going to affect you in any negative way. And anybody else who would like to call in and share their story, it won't affect you in any negative way either.
Right. We will keep your confidentiality. So Danielle knows my story, which is what I do for a living. I'm a drug and alcohol counselor. And what generally happens with me is I become a repository for that secret. So women who are self-medicating because of the pain from their past, when they finally decide to tell, again, it's a relief for them finally. Some of these women have held that secret for 20, 30, 40 years. And then they finally are able to speak the words and begin their healing process. And then, just like you, share their story and maybe help somebody else. So I appreciate you doing that today. Guess what? It's time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the worst part about it is just carrying it alone. In my opinion, because if you can talk to somebody that's, and I think when somebody opens up to you like that, the most important thing is just to be with them in that space, in that cold and dark and lonely place, and just be there. It's not about making people feel better, because, you know, it's just about being there. So that person is not alone in this trauma that they experienced. So
yes.
John, did you follow that
kind of
you at all?
What I found out. I'm sorry, what?
That's what I...
Did you follow the Anons or QAnon, any of the conversation?
I did for a little bit. I followed, there was a YouTuber that I followed. I don't even remember the name of the channel anymore, but
mm-hmm.
I followed some of it for a while, up until the 2020 election, and I was like, I don't know about this.
Right. It totally got hijacked. But honestly, like, I researched all of this stuff, like the fact that there's so many people out there that have been, you know, really abused as children. And when I did it, I wasn't even molested. So I don't feel like I can even have an opinion, especially at this time. But when I realized what was going on, punch to the gut, I felt like vomiting. And I was so alone. Just knowing about how many people out there were subjected to this. And so, like, I really do feel like Q or Anon or QAnon, whatever we want to call it, was kind of like this place where people could wake up to these traumas with the community. And for that, and that alone, even that, only that, I mean, there could be other things, but for that one reason alone, that's why I supported Q, you know, because people were actually, they had a community where they could come to grips with this. And of course that was the first thing that was attacked. And of course that's why they're saying that these are QAnon conspiracy theories that are fueling these Balenciaga and all of this stuff. You know, that's, hate for drag queens. And so, you know, for that reason, that reason alone, I'm so glad for the Q movement, because now at least people can come together on this one truth, which I believe is the colonial secret. Okay, John. This is the 4 o'clock hour is dedicated to just good news. Now that we're done with this with pedophilia, now it's just good news for 1 hour. I would love for you to stay with us.
That sounds fun. I'm having a good time.
Awesome. Cool. Mom's going to do the good news, and let us know what you think when she's done.
So, of course, the good news this week is that free speech is winning the battle. A great quote to start off my my segment, and it comes from Fisher King on Twitter. It says, if you've learned anything over the past 5 years or so, is that it's that you need to listen closely to people labeled as right-wing conspiracy theories for a full picture of the news. The problem with it has been, of course, that earned that label, tinfoil hat, aluminum foil hat, right-wing conspiracy theorists, Anons or QAnon or whatever however you want to call it, they get dismissed and then they get censored. So, for example, if you do a search on the 2020 election fraud on Google, nothing will come back other than it's all been disproven, debunked. Same goes for the Hunter Biden laptop story. Same goes for people trying to find information on ivermectin because of COVID, so on and so forth. There are people in high places in social media companies that have the ability to silence you. And so here just recently, a gentleman named Elon Musk purchased one of the largest social media companies, keeping in mind that all of the searches and all of the information still gets filtered through Google and Apple, okay, which still makes it difficult to get all of the information that you'd like to have. But it sure did get easier about in September, because this gentleman purchased this very large social media company. And then as soon as he did that, he fired 75% of the employees. And your mainstream media outlets all said Twitter will die. It's the end of Twitter. What a shame. Well, it turns out apparently they're doing just fine. There's more conversation on Twitter than there has been for the last 4 or 5 years, or at least people's voices are being heard because they're not being shadow banned and silenced. And it was always fun to argue with liberals on Twitter until they started doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
Huge fun. You could go and
cross. It's low-hanging fruit.
And I used to have in my favorite emoji was the cross swords, right? Go in there and fight, right? And because you can't do that on Facebook, because then you make your relatives cry. I actually have done that a few times. It made my relatives cry. And so I stopped fighting on Facebook, and I took the battle to the battlefield. Well, since you're new here, John, I'll just repeat. On the day that President Trump got his account nuked, so was mine, along with a lot of people. It was called the Great Purge. Yeah, you are correct.
Yes.
So one of the things that Elon Musk said he would do, he said two things that he would do, which was to restore a lot of those accounts, unless he found that they had actually violated the terms of service, which was inciting violence or spamming. Those were the two rules that he was going to still abide by, if you were spamming or if you were threatening violence, okay? Or
which is actually illegal, so, yeah.
It totally is, but that's the ones that he stuck to his guns on, which, you know, I haven't actually seen threats of violence except from the left. They wish death on me for not getting vaccinated, but that's another story. So the other thing that he promised, though, was that once he got his hands on all the employee communications, he was going to find out about how they and why they censored certain individuals. Well, this week he started releasing the internal communications in Twitter. It was called the Twitter files. And as suspected, it was a ton of suck. So the first one they started with was September and October of 2020, came bubbling up out of the ooze the information that Hunter Biden had left his laptop at a computer repair shop. Now, it had happened months before that, and as a matter of fact, the FBI has had the laptop the entire time, but apparently Hunter never went back and picked up his laptop from the repair shop, and the person that the repair store owner opened it up trying to figure out, you know, how to get it to the owner, and what he found was some pretty disgusting stuff, some pretty illegal stuff. And turned it over to the FBI. But he kept the copy. And he gave that to a gentleman named Rudy Giuliani. Pop quiz. Who's Rudy Giuliani?
He's the former governor of New York and Trump's current lawyer, I think.
Mayor of New York, and yes, he is.
Or mayor, yeah, mayor, that's right. Yeah.
Right? Legal counsel for Donald Trump. And this was after months and months and months of you know, begging Hunter to come get his computer, try to figure out what the FBI did with it, because once he realized there was illegal stuff on there, he did what every Joe citizen is supposed to do, say, hey, policemen, do something about this because there's illegal stuff on here, okay? There was some pedophilia on the laptop. With his relatives.
Oh. Yeah, that's new to me. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. There was a lot of dick pics, which we don't care about. There were lots of him snorting pain. You know, poor thing, got an addiction problem. But apparently for this computer repair guy, the underage girls, and some of them his relatives, was the reason why he turned it over to the FBI, because obviously we need to save the children.
If you just watch Joe Biden, like it's not particularly a surprise, sadly, you know.
It's not. That the whole family messed up. Okay.
Yeah.
So up comes bubbling this Rudy Giuliani saying, hey, because not only was there a bunch of pedophilia on there was absolute evidence that Joe Biden was influence peddling, selling his vice presidency under Obama for personal gain. And Hunter Biden was the bag man. He He was going all over the world, to Russia, to China, to all, Ukraine, of course, and selling influence for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And sorry about the squeaky toy in the background.
Hi, Nala.
Imagine anybody. Say hi, Nala. Yeah. Wish you could see the look on her face. So, apologies for the squeaky toy for our listeners. I would do something about it, would probably just make it worse. So, so Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, the campaign for Donald Trump said, hey, we can't elect this guy. He's corrupt. We have, and there's evidence of his corruption right here. So let's go back a little further into 2016, 2017, 2018, and what the intelligence community did to Donald Trump. They did everything to try to get rid of this guy. The entire world did everything they could possibly do to try to get rid of this guy. And they used our intelligence agencies, FBI, CIA, NSA, CISA, all of them did whatever it took. Well, so what happened is 51 intelligence agents signed a letter. This is Russian disinformation. This laptop. Deep fake. It has all the earmarks. And so they're censored. Right? And Twitter did exactly that.
Well, kind of the way that I think you're talking about the dossier thing. I forgot what it was called, the Piscate or whatever. And
specific talking about the agencies that signed off saying that Hunter's laptop was fake, right? You know, was Russian disinformation.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 2020.
They're the same people that did the same thing to Donald Trump. The people that signed the letter, the same actors. Okay.
Sure.
Including John Brennan, what's that other fool's name that lied under oath? John Bolton, and what's the other guy with the cheeks, Danielle?
Oh,
John
what's
Brennan.
His name?
God.
That's Major something. What was his name?
There's that too. But okay, but it's for the record, it's the same idiots, the same actors, the same deep state actors that played along with the Russian, with the Russia hoax, the Ukraine hoax, same idiots. John Brennan and Jim Clapper, okay, and a whole bunch of other, and you know, Stanley McChrystal, all the usual suspects, and ostensibly, that is why Twitter censored the New York Post article, bombshell article with all of the other real stuff.
That word is so funny to me. I don't know why, but every time you say dick pics, it makes me laugh. I can't help myself.
Okay, well, yes, there's a reason why I'm using that phrase, and I'm going to get to that, because that's part of the good news. And it's to your point,
so the dick pics are the good news?
We'll get there.
Good?
But it's,
we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here for good news, John. Can you please just let us
know? I'm sorry.
No, but it's to John's point where he said the mainstream media is dying. Okay, so I'm going to get there. Give me a second. It has to do with the dick pics. So here we go. The New York Post posts an article in October of 2020, quote unquote, the October surprise, where it very definitely did its research. It actually did some journalism and researched the allegations about the Biden family's corruption, okay? The brother, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, the Chinese government, the Russian government, and found out it was all true. They have the evidence. They have bank records. They have all kinds of evidence. Family is corrupt and that they've been influence peddling. For the first time in the history of the United States, an article from a legitimate newspaper was censored on Twitter. And at the same time, about that time, they anybody that tried to share the article, the account was suspended, most of them permanently suspended. They put their thumb on the scale of a presidential election with the assistance of the FBI, the CIA, all of them, to change the course of history. Again, here just in the last few months, a bunch of news agencies have admitted, well, yeah, guess what? The laptop was real. We found out. They've known all along. So back to Twitter. What Elon Musk promised us was that he would release the internal documentation, the internal documents that said, that shows the employees at Twitter censoring American citizens, censoring the New York Post, a legitimate news outlet that printed a legitimate news article about the corruption in the Biden family. And on Friday night, he released the first set of documents with a journalist named Matt Taibbi, who works for the Rolling Stones publication. This guy is a Trump hater. Actually, he's a corporation hater. He's a rich guy hater. He's a progressive, a real progressive, like Glenn Greenwald. Okay, he's a legitimate journalist. Don't get me wrong. I just disagree with his politics. But he lives out loud who he believes are corrupt, including Donald Trump. So it's not like this is right-wing bias, is my point behind this. And Elon Musk chose him for that reason. And he got on Twitter and he showed very clearly the process that they used to censor the New York Post article. They said it was hacked material. They said that they didn't say it was fake. They said it was hacked materials, and so therefore they couldn't publish it. They suspended
the
account of the
New York Post. Potentially hacked.
Yes, they definitely gave themselves a little bit of wiggle room. Certainly, they censored the New York Post Twitter account and the journalists that wrote the article. They suspended their accounts as well. And they showed internal communications between the Democrat National Committee. And any time they said, we want you to take this down, they would shoot off an email to the people at Twitter. They'd take it down within minutes. And there were hundreds of them, hundreds of accounts, hundreds of tweets. Okay, they can't do that. So pop quiz, why can't they? Anybody know? What is the
why can't
the
they
legal
what?
Argument? Why can't they, Twitter, private company, well, publicly traded company, but a private company, why can't, what is the legal question behind this? And Danielle, I was screaming at it hard, so you have an idea, don't you?
I sure do, but I would like to give the panel an opportunity. John, Elizabeth?
Yeah, why can't they what again?
Why
censor
those people, suspend those accounts based on the Democrat National Committee making the request?
Why can't? Well, I mean, they can legally. There's no legal issue with that, as far as I know.
Oh, but there is.
Cannot. Yep. They
I don't know.
Cannot.
There's a constitutional one.
There is a constitutional question. The government is not allowed to censor any speech. Especially if they use a go-between when they do it. So if the government, and in this case, it is a government agency. Well, and that's, again, back to these journalists. They're like, well, first of all, big deal, it's dick pics. Second of all, Biden wasn't president yet, so he's not held to that constitutional standard. That's not true. It was the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the CISA, CISA, all of them. There's a trove of emails back and forth between government officials and the Democrat National Committee, the party in power in Congress and in the Senate, making
all right.
demands,
well,
not requesting demands.
It sounds like going on the good news sort of thing, right, as I understand what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Because that the good news is that Elon Musk is the man, and he took over Twitter and totally bombed it out, which was awesome. I really admire Elon Musk. Like, he's a I've seen interviews with him. Yeah, I've seen interviews he's done, and just the way that he thinks, you kind of see it when he's doing the interviews. And he really thinks on kind of a big picture, where does humanity need to go? Like, he talks a lot about we need to be a multi-planet species because in 500 million years, the sun is going to boil the earth, which is all true, right? But, he's really a kind of a big picture, like, humanity needs to do this kind of a – and he believes it, I think. I mean, I don't think he's the kind of guy that can really put on an act. Like, he's not one of those kind of guys, man.
He's also an African American, so you can't really question him.
He's an African American. Yes, he is.
He's South African. Baby.
Yes, he's
an African American man. He's the richest guy
also
in the world.
Also, my other criticism of Elon is I'm never going to Neuralink, bro. I'm not going to do it. But other than that,
I'm also not really into electric cars personally, but I mean, good on him for doing it, though, you know.
So there's more proof that this was a government-led shenanigans, shall we say, illegality. We have proof the crooked Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, had Twitter silence her critics in the run-up to the fraudulent election she oversaw in Arizona. I'm going to read it from the Gateway Pundit. So it says, now we know why crooked Katie Hobbs didn't want to debate Carrie Lake. Why would she when she ran the election, oversaw 30% of Election Day precinct machines breaking down, had the media in her pocket, and was working with social media platforms to silence her critics? This is likely
I heard about that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I thought you said who. I'm sorry, John. I apologize.
Oh, no. The last thing I heard about that whole thing is that one of the officials refused to certify the election, but that was a little while ago.
One county.
Much about it.
One county.
One county.
Exactly five
Maricopa
counties.
Or something?
No,
oh.
Not
so here we go.
Where is that at now? Did that go forward, or is there anything happening?
I'm getting ready to fill you in right now. This is like a criminal activity, but she did. Especially if she silenced her critics during her gubernatorial run, which is likely. And soon we will hear about how over 70,000 fraudulent ballots were sent out before Election Day. Katie Hobbs' office contacts Twitter to have posts removed. So the Democrat candidate who ran the Arizona election censored her political opponents, disrupted Election Day votes, and then threatened counties with prosecution if they didn't declare her the winner. So when is the election too fraudulent to certify? When will people say enough? And why do we continue to side with lawless communist left? Here's more. Email leaks reveal Arizona Secretary of State Hobbs was in regular communication with Twitter telling them who to censor. This information comes from the Missouri v. Biden case, which is what we've been kicking around pretty much every week. On my good news report, I'm super excited about that case. This lawsuit has uncovered so many links between big tech and the government, you would think they were virtually married. Okay, so here we go.
John, just like I'm going to interrupt for 3 seconds. This case, we covered a whole bunch of it of this last week, but Missouri and Louisiana have come together with private sector people to sue the government. And it's the judge started out by saying, the plaintiff already won its case. There's no, that's what the judge started with. So, of course, the Dems want to move the venue, but I'm already over time. So, Mom, back to you.
So back to me. And so here we go. Let's see. Ray had the Biden laptop since December of 2019. Christopher Ray, the head of the FBI. The FBI knew it was real, knew exactly the damning evidence on it. They illegally read our emails and text messages. This is Steve Bannon. Emails and text messages. Ray knew exactly what we had, and he lied about it. He is a traitor guilty of treason. So this is from the Washington Post. FBI director affirms Russia's aim to denigrate Biden ahead of election. This was written back in September 7th of 2020. So Ray got up on the stand and said that this laptop was Russian disinformation, and he had it in his possession. The next thing I want to tell you, the reason why this is a big deal, is because not only do we have Katie Hobbs emails, we have an email. We have emails. This is in the Missouri case again. Emails between the FBI agents and the social media companies, telling them who to censor when it came to the Hunter Biden laptop, and also about January 6th, also about COVID. The FBI has been right in the thick of it, meeting weekly with the heads of social media companies, telling them who to censor. They have emails back, but their meetings obviously were secret. So there's not technically documentation, but there's emails going back and forth planning the meetings between the FBI and these social media companies. So there's your that's why this case, the Missouri case, that's why this judge said they've already proved their case, that the government was colluding or sending their messaging instead of doing it themselves, censoring American citizens. They were using social media companies to do it.
So okay, these cases are going forward with success, it sounds like?
Yes, you betcha.
That's good.
Okay.
It's good to hear.
Not only
it's really
Elon Musk internal documents, he already gave them to the attorneys general in Missouri and Louisiana.
Yeah, so it's a multi-state, a collaboration on this with private entities, private people who come in and testify. And, you know, it's so great. Like, everything is already laid out. Not really much else to get, except Fauci this week, or was it last week, testified? And Jen Psaki was, has to testify, under deposition, right? Not in public, but I am holding my breath for this case, which I've lost holding my breath for most other cases.
Right.
So, while the government is busy chasing Jen Psaki around from court to court, where they've been trying to get a judge to say she doesn't have to sit for the deposition, they deposed the FBI agent that was holding the weekly meetings, and it was blockbuster. I'm gonna move on to something else, and you guys can. I take that back. There's one more. So they have evidence that Joe Biden, because he kept saying that he started off by saying, first of all, the laptop was fake in a debate on a national stage. Then he moved on to, it might be real, but I never met with any of Hunter Biden's business associates. And then he changed it. Well, yeah, I met with a couple of them, but it didn't affect my policymaking. Joe Biden met with Hunter's business associates 16 times. We've known for years that Joe Biden was lying when he repeatedly said he never discussed business with Hunter. But today we learned even more about Biden's involvement in his family's foreign business deals. According to Fox News, Biden met with 14 of Hunter's business associates while vice president. To date, Biden has met with Hunter's associates at least on 16 occasions. November 20th, and they actually have them listed. I'm not going to read them all because that would be boring. So having said that, I am officially going to move on to some really good news that just came out today, or maybe it was yesterday. I'm not sure. Hold on. Here it is. Chuck Colesto on Twitter. Following pressure from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Biden to rescind vaccine mandate for military personnel. Thank God. So pieces of news that I've seen in a long time. I'm very happy that go ahead.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I served 5 years in the Marine Corps, and I can tell you
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's something I wanted to do. I mean, first it got me out of my house, but, you know, for other reasons. But I was stationed in Miramar in San Diego. That you do give up a degree of bodily autonomy in the military, and that's kind of the deal. Now, I'm glad that they're taking that away because, I mean, this kind of vaccine, I don't know how much I trust it. It came out kind of quick. We don't, you know, it takes time to kind of see what's going to happen in my mind. I don't ever want to take something like that as soon as it comes out. But you do give up some element of bodily autonomy by joining the military. That's part of the deal. Now, I don't think they were ever discharging people dishonorably for it. Huh?
They tried. There was one. Just a quick interruption. There was one case, I believe, where Navy SEALs were going to be dishonorably discharged if they didn't get it, and they took it to the Supreme Court, and I think they won. But I believe there was one instance, and this is obviously a higher up unit, but not. You know, we're not talking generalities, but I, you know, little insert.
Right, now this is something.
I think a case pending, and Lee Dumbass is on it, and it involves all the airline pilots that were injured from the vaccine in the military, and they have a database dump of all the increase, like
so not airline pilots, maybe like Air Force or something.
Air Force.
No,
I mean, there's pilots in three of those four bases.
They have military data of the injuries, and this might be why they relinquished, because this is going to be huge when it hits the courts. So if they pull back, we're not making nobody do this now, maybe that case will go away, because this is a huge tsunami.
Let me just cut in here. I would love to talk about this with John's expertise, because his expertise when I knew him was about airline, you know, mechanics. I don't want to get too specific.
Avionics.
Can we get – what's that?
I was an avionics tech in the Marine Corps.
Okay. So definitely part of the, you know, the airline. So he may have some little golden nuggets. But let's get back to the good news for now, because it's, you know, 4 to 5 is good news, but the third hour is kind of a wild card. So let's put that in the queue to talk about. All right, go ahead, Mom.
So I only have a couple more. I'm not going to go for the full hour. Lately, I've been only doing about a half an hour, which seems to be all the steam that I have, because, you know, I'm a grandma and I'm old and all that other business. But apparently, Twitter wasn't just fooling around in our elections. It looks like Elon Musk has evidence that they interfered in the 2022 Brazilian election as well. Elon Musk continues to drop bomb after bomb on the leftist company's interference in democratic elections. On Saturday, Elon Musk admitted Twitter likely interfered in the Brazilian presidential elections in favor of convicted felon and socialist Lula da Silva. This is big, big news. So Elon Musk tweeted, "I've seen lots of concerning tweets about the recent Brazil election. If those tweets are accurate, it's possible Twitter personnel gave preference to left-wing candidates." It was already posted this month that Twitter was censoring President Bolsonaro supporters' accounts. Twitter and Facebook have been interfering in democratic elections around the world, not just here in the United States, apparently. They've been picking favorites and targeting opposing voices for years now. Twitter removed an earlier post from Jair Bolsonaro praising hydrochloroquine as an optional treatment for COVID-19. As reported earlier, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has celebrated the sale of Twitter to Tesla CEO Elon Musk. About an hour after the confirmation of the change of command of the social network, Bolsonaro retweeted a message from Musk in which he defends freedom of speech on Twitter. So apparently it's not just us they've been messing with. It looks like they've been doing it worldwide. Today is about a Supreme Court case that is pending in our country. And there was a case filed after the 2020 election. And I'm just going to read the story and then we'll get your comments. So is this the Supreme Court case that will drain the swamp? Like Paul Dowling, American thinker. It was posted November 30th, 2022. The question, how can we support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Answer, you investigate. If there are claims that there is a threat, even if you don't believe there is a threat, you investigate. How else can you determine if there is a threat unless you investigate? You can't. Were the claims of a threat to the Constitution? Yes. Where did these serious claims come from? 100 members of Congress. What was the threat? That there were enemies of the Constitution who successfully rigged the 2020 election. Is this lawsuit about a rigged election? No, it's about the members of Congress who voted against the investigation January 6th, thereby thwarting the investigation. Was this a clear violation of their oath? Yes. Question of law in the Supreme Court case known as Brunson versus Alma S. Adams et al., Biden, Harris, Pence, and 385 members of Congress. They broke their oaths. Loy, Rayland, Duran, and Gaynor Brunson, four brothers, all witnessed what they believed to be the theft of the 2020 election and decided to file suit. However, the interesting approach that they have taken is not to make a formal complaint that the election was stolen. Instead, they have chosen to sue members of the U.S. Congress who voted not to investigate whether any election irregularities may have occurred that could have affected the outcome. In other words, Brunson brothers were motivated to sue because these elected officials broke their oaths to protect the Constitution of the United States. The Brunson brothers believe that to support and defend the Constitution, an investigation into possible fraud needed to take place. Otherwise, how could anyone know with certainty whether the election had been secure? What shocked the Brunson brothers was that only 147 members of the U.S. Congress voted in support of the proposed 10-day audit of the election before certifying the ballot count of the Electoral College, while according to the Washington Post, 377 members voted against the proposed 10-day investigation and 8 abstained. Eventually, the case, Rollin J. Brunson petitioner versus V. Alma S. Adams et al., ended up on the docket of the Supreme Court. The questions presented section in Rollin J. Brunson's petition for writ of certiorari goes like this. A serious conflict exists between decisions rendered from this court and lower appeals courts, along with constitutional provisions and statutes, in deciding whether the trial court has jurisdiction to try the merits of this case. This case uncovers a serious national security breach that is unique and is of first impression. This case involves the possible removal of a sitting president and vice president of the United States, along with members of the United States Congress, while deeming them unfit from ever holding office under federal, state, county, or local governments found within the United States of America, and at the same time, the trial court also has the authority to be validated by this court to authorize the swearing in of the legal and rightful heirs for president and vice president of the United States. So what this case is about is, and we don't know if the Supreme Court is going to take it up, it's on their docket. He finishes the article by saying, might the Supreme Court grant relief not only to the Brunson brothers, but to millions who are weary of being characterized as election deniers simply for wanting an investigation to take place? Is it possible that some or all of those named in the lawsuit might be removed from office? Keep an eye on this one. So, even though 2020 happened a long time ago. Get over it. Move on. All that other stuff. There's millions of us that are still pissed off. And apparently these Brunson brothers are taking this case all the way to the top, that their job is to investigate institutionally, to find out, to answer the questions. And they didn't do their job. They broke their oath, according to this case. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I want you guys to all, oh wait, first, before I close, does anybody have any questions or comments about the information that I shared today?
It seems pretty straightforward.
I agree. I always try to pick out the ones that bring it right back down to the business.
And I do have a general comment, if you guys want to hear it. I'm not sure how.
Yep.
I really want to point out the hubris, right, of it, because if you go back to 2016, right? Right. Look, and let me just kind of lay this out real quick. So Obama, he left all of these judge seats completely open, judges or whatever. And then there was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or I don't remember her name now. Like,
that stayed
in, right, with all her health problems. Like, they were so confident that it was going to be Hillary in 2016 that they just left that all for Hillary. And the hubris of that, and how much that's screwing over, you know, the deep state, you would say, or the DNC. But just the hubris of that is just really amazes me in a good way. Like, I guess that's kind of a good news thing, because now it's coming around and kicking them right in the butt, and it's really, really cool to see that.
Very insightful. Right. Absolutely. They never thought she would lose. You're right.
Yeah.
It's their arrogance that will get them every freaking time. And yes, they ran through so many nominations, including 3 Supreme Court justices, and it changed the face of our nation. So you're absolutely
right. Yeah, well,
it
saved our butts. Saved our butts.
Yep.
But one thing that I think is a big problem, I don't think this is going to happen, but if whoever, I think it's the president along with the Senate, were to decide to put in more justices to get their way. I think that I'm not sure what you can do after that. I think that's I don't know. So I hope that doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to, but
Can't happen.
I mean, that would be awful.
That's 59 in the Senate. And so we're still at risk, John. And those, both
right.
of those points were on point, sir. Pay attention.
Now, I think if they were going to do it, they'd have already done it, though, is, I guess, what my feeling on it. So I'm not super worried about it, but, like, that would kind of put a nail in the Constitution. Yeah.
There's
right.
To add more Supreme Court justices, make Puerto Rico and the city of Washington, D.C., new states so that they can add more senators. So, yes, it's something to watch for. You're absolutely right. Both of those are prescient, and I don't think they're going to be able to get away with it either, but certainly that's on their to-do list.
Yeah.
And we could always just turn
it's totally good news,
system,
though.
But whatever.
The good news, John, you are correct, is that they haven't done it yet, and I think that they – probably because they realized just how far they would be pushing the envelope. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Soon.
I don't think there's a peaceful resolution beyond that, I guess, is what I would have to say about it.
I agree. We're
well,
on the precipice.
Well, the only thing that I'm going to censor on this show is that I'm advocating for a non-hostile takeover of this country. But, you know,
I agree.
That's all. I'm just
I agree with you. I advocate
too.
That too. I've been to war. I don't want to see people in that situation, and I don't want to react to it. Like, war is hell. Anyway, so I hope I didn't overextend myself. Then I just
saying that the only word corrections that I will make on this show is when it comes to anything that has to do with, you know, with violence, because We don't want to get it taken down.
And
we know
and
that
I'm
this
certainly
is a
not
non-hostile
advocating
takeover.
For violence. So I hope that I'm not being taken that way.
Yeah,
perfect. But you're absolutely right that all of those things are dangerous and so we should keep your eye on everything. So to your point, that's probably why they haven't pushed the envelope that far. They pushed us pretty far.
Right. And we have a Second Amendment here still that's still pretty strong. And when you look at like dictatorial rulers and through history, they always have to take the guns. There's a few ingredients to it.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
And
as long as we have that,
and,
I don't think we're in too much danger.
Right. And we observe all of those rights. You know what I mean? And honestly, like the First Amendment is there for, you know, that's the first resort is we use our words. That's what we tell our toddlers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, use your words, right?
Absolutely.
But when it comes to this country and this constitution and this, setup that we have right now, the second Amendment is there for when the First Amendment fails us. And so that's why we fight like hell to protect the First Amendment, because we don't want to use the Second Amendment, but it's there for a reason.
We don't. Yeah, and this is another thing, if you kind of expand on that, is that we protect our rights because we love them. We're Americans. We want it for ourselves. But the secondary effect of that what do you think would happen if there was some kind of dictatorial takeover in a European country or Canada? I mean, the United States has the largest military, and we have all this influence with our economy and everything else. The United States is guaranteeing the freedoms of the Western world, such that they are, right? And the freedoms in the United States are guaranteed by our Second Amendment. And if you extrapolate on that, basically the freedom of all of the world is resting upon the armed citizenry of the United States.
It's sadly, they're all fucked right now. You know that with Hong Kong, everyone in China with the white papers that are getting rounded up and killed like they were in 1989 at Tiananmen Square. Let me think. The people in the UK who are freezing to death right now because of the fact that they don't have any heat because of Nord Stream. Yeah, thank God the U.S. is here. And look out, Africa.
Yeah, right. Okay, but hold on. Because all of these topics are so worthy for the last hour, and I think Mom has to go feed the chickens. So I think we want to say goodbye to Mom.
Okay.
Goodbye, Mom.
Yes, goodbye. I want you guys to have a wonderful week. Remember, God is still sitting on his throne, and he hasn't surrendered his authority. So all of these things that concern us concern him mightily, and he's going to take care of us. And so that's what I know. And so we'll see you guys next week. John, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for
it's been nice meeting you, too.
All right. Elizabeth, have a great week, sis.
You too, sweetie. Take care of those chickens.
All right.
And take care of yourself, too.
Love you.
Have a good week, baby. Bye-bye.
Love you. Love you.
I didn't know your mom's name, so I just said Mom.
Her name is Mom here.
Oh, okay. All right, so I did good then.
You did really good.
Her name's Mom here, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Carla, but her name's
Mom.
Oh,
okay.
So that's the property that we have up in Carlsbad. She's there now. She's got the chickens going on.
All right.
You know, we're down south a little bit in Point Loma. But she's here every week to just remind us of the good news. So, all right.
All right, that's good.
Elizabeth, can you pick the next topic because there's been so many? Do you want to go back to BDSM bears or do you want to talk about the military and their responsibilities?
We can kind of like, you know, swim through the whole thing, but I want to go back to the...
I'm cool with doing Downton Abbey, honestly, if you want.
I love that show. I'm on the...
Oh, another
Have you seen it, Jen?
No, I don't really watch TV anymore, so I'm really not up with TV shows.
Yes.
No. I watched the Star Wars show when it came out.
This show's been out of production for a long time, but, like, honestly, the reason that I like it so much is because it's, okay, so history, it's the end of the Edwardian era, and, you know, all of this new technology has been introduced into the world, and this is England, and this is how their farmers and normal people lived, because if they didn't, they would just starve to death, basically.
Right.
And the little plots of land that they had and all of this, that at the, so it's the end of this era. And it is what a non, I mean, there is a Downton Abbey, but like,
and it's
but
like,
it's a drama.
So cool because, yeah. It's a PBS Masterpiece Theater. It, you know what it is really? It is the remake of Upstairs Downstairs from the 70s. Basically.
All right.
And it's the, you know, the aristocrats and the servants. And you know, we've made Dallas and Yellowstone and all of these dramas. But the cool thing about this is that it started on the day that the Titanic sunk. And it kind of like, you know, everybody had just gotten electricity. But, of course, I didn't get it in the kitchen because I didn't see the need. And it was kind of like some people didn't want it because they didn't trust it. And back then, nothing was rushed. And what I thought about when I watched this, and it was so great, is that you could actually be a human being and kick back and think and create. And we don't have that ability anymore. Let's pick a topic to get whipped up about. It really kind of like, it does affect our lives, but since we don't have actual any control over it, all it does is suck our energy away. Away from...
Are you saying that Lady Grantham was right? The Dowager?
You know, I only got up to... where am I? I'm on season 1, episode 7. They just are, you know... lady,
what did she say?
Maggie just found out that they dragged a body through the house. That's where I'm at.
Oh,
and
hopefully what they did with it is they went down the I-15. There's a sign, I think it's either Utah or Nevada, that says no services for 105 miles. Drive about 50 miles, take a right, like, you know. Hopefully that's what they did with it, if they want to get away.
Well, but this was in, what, 1912.
Right?
12.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In a castle in England. And she had a lover.
And there's this,
and her dad died.
Yeah.
They had to drag him down to his room.
It's the good old days before the Federal Reserve.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And ironically, check it out.
But in England.
Yes. And ironically, his rich relatives were on the maiden voyage, the ones who owned Downton Abbey, the ones that had they were the heirs to the fortune, along with the Astors and the Vanderbilts. And they kind of lured, it's like, you know, behind the scenes, they lured all the rich men of influence onto the maiden voyage of the Titanic, and they're all gone. And who got the spoils of the after, you know, and who was able to pull the strings, the behind-the-scenes people. It's interesting, but I love the feel of I call it the Victorian, the end of the Victorian, Edwardian, yes, age.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah,
because all of this is crazy. We live in crazy land. It just is.
I like steampunk, which is kind of a Victorian thing, like a fantasy Victorian.
What is it?
Steampunk
it?
Genre. It's steampunk. It's
basically
it's
same era.
Well, steampunk.
Oh,
yeah, but it's more fantasized, right? But it's like with airships and usually it's
stuff.
Like anime and stuff like that. Like I used to watch some of that stuff.
I love the Marvel ones movies. I love where they're looking for the stones, the gloves. Who are those guys? I think they got the Hulk. Captain America. I like that sci-fi fantasy. Kind of has a
Thanos face. Yeah. But, you know, to bring it back to Downton Abbey, the thing about Downton Abbey is that there are these, you know, a handful of aristocrats per county, and the rest of the public have to do other things. And, you know, a big portion of the town basically were there to service, to, you know, to dress, to feed all of the upper class.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, especially in England and in the English countryside, there was still a very, you know, a big stronghold of, you know, peasants that were paid by the monasteries that had been taken over, like the big buildings had been taken over by the aristocrats. But the subsistence farmers were being, paid by grew food. And as that trade got smaller and smaller, the Edwardians had to, you know, take up, and plant food on the side of the road, like, which is exactly what I'm, you know, saying that people should do now in regular times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's not a bad idea to do.
If it worked then, we could do it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, and we talked about this earlier. I think it's a great idea to do. Get some more healthy food in, natural stuff, you know, supplement, you know, the food supply and whatnot. That's great. I don't know that in San Diego, with the population ratio to the amount of land that's there, I don't know that it's like it could replace. Yeah. Well, yeah. I looked it up. It's about 5 acres per person altogether.
Right.
But then most of it is covered in buildings. Yeah, it is. I did the math. But it's mostly covered in like buildings, and then you've got roads, and then not all of it is arable. Like there's rocky ground, there's beach, there's a lot of stuff, you know. So not all of that land is arable, and it takes about 5 acres to support a single person. So I think to be sustainable, you know, with just the land that's in San Diego, you're probably going to have a lower population.
But are you
like
sure, though?
People like move away. What?
Well, no, because go back in the day. You had a little cabin in the middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and whatever you and your wife and your couple, let's go Little House on the Prairie, whoever, they didn't do 5 acres. They did whatever amount they could. And
it was more than
that. Yeah, blocking that can be used for goats or cows or chickens.
You know, yeah, I mean, you canned. They actually kind of starved, which is what fasting until they could slaughter. You know,
that's
I think
true.
But you could live off of less, is what I'm thinking. Off of it. That's my thought.
Well, yeah, the minimum is about, but also the population was a lot lower, and the population density, as far as cities go, wasn't there at the time. So that's a big difference.
Let me ask you a question. Were your calculators, they involved? Hold on, Elizabeth, hold on. Okay, so in that video I sent you, that the guerrilla gardener Ron Finley, right, where he was talking about the how much vacant lots are in, you know, because you weren't going off the vacant lots in LA, right?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Okay. So that Ron Finley.
I looked up the total land area of San Diego. And the total population of San Diego, and just divided it.
Okay.
So all of the land, you know, not just like lot areas or whatever, like square miles total in San Diego, is the math that I did.
Right. Okay. And so all, you know, that's probably not an accurate representation, because you could always put raised beds on rocky areas. You can also use it for, you know, land, you know, poultry. You know, animals, beef, you know, there's ostrich, right? Like there's so many animals that we can have here. And that's actually why, you know, I'm not really a big fan of the wild animal parks and zoos, but the San Diego Wild Animal Park has the most diverse habitat of species, you know, and they're working on endangered species, right? Like, we've got such a perfect, like, that's why I said we live in Eden, right? We can grow not only food, but we can grow animals, and we can sustain animals. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't
I,
know
I agree with
we,
everything you're saying there, Danielle. I just think there's too many people for for the amount of land is really, is, I guess, is what I think. But I also don't think that there's going to be a complete breakdown of supply chain. Like, I don't, I think we'll see shortages and stuff because there's too much food grown in our country in the breadbasket. So much food grown here. And those farmers, they want to sell the food. They want to get something for it. And, you know, people in all these cities, they want to eat. So, and where there's a supply and a demand, the goods will move. And I don't think that's going to ever stop, really. So, I don't think that's really in the mix. And like I said, I think the roadside gardening, or I forgot, guerrilla gardening, I think that's a great idea. And I'm glad that it's happening and everything. So
it's really more about
teaching
people, right? Like, how long can we rely on the supply chain? You're right. In California, you know, we talk about the breadbasket, right? But remember that most of the food in the country comes from this state and in the middle of California, right? So, like, those farmers going to let people, let their products
Right, exactly. So goods will still move one
in
way
California
or another.
In California and in the
breadbasket,
right?
There might be shortages. Yep.
Yes.
We might see shortages, but we're not going to see a complete shutdown of all, commerce and trade. I have a hard time imagining that. Like, even if somehow we ran out of diesel fuel, right, like, they would find another way. Like, they get a horse and buggy and move stuff if they had to.
Right.
But, the goods are going to move. So,
right.
I don't think we're going to have to go back to horse and buggies or whatever, but
no.
A ton of oil for us to get. So I don't think we're in danger of running out of it. It's just the federal government is kind of regulating it away for some reason. But yeah, I think you're fine. And I think that's a great program, and I hope that, it's successful and it spreads out there.
What I'm advocating for at this point is for everybody to know what food looks like, what food is, versus, the crap that we've been, chemically, castrated crap that we've been given, meant for an agenda. And this is my point, and I've said this story before, but since you're new, John, I'll say it again, lucky you. We got chickens, about 7 years ago, we got chickens and for the first time on a piece of property that is, it's regulated. It's in San Diego, but it's agricultural land in Carlsbad, right? So we get chickens and, first chickens, we're allowed to do it. It's so much fun. We give them, they're free range. They're allowed to eat the bugs and the weeds and everything that chickens are supposed to eat, right? And so we get our first couple eggs, right? And I crack them open in the frying pan, and their yolks are this, like, dark, almost like neon dark orange color.
That's a little weird.
And I'm like, okay. Actually, it's not. I'm like, what the fuck? What is wrong with my eggs? Why are these, yolks so dark orange? Right. And I look it up on the Google machine, right? And I see that chickens in their natural diet, that's what eggs are supposed to look like. Light yellow eggs that as a millennial I've been getting from the grocery store forever are not healthy. They're on they're not on their natural chicken diet, right? And so to me, this was not even too long ago, where I had this, like, coming to Jesus moment where I'm like, I don't even know what food is supposed to look like. I just gave my free range chickens, a perfect home, and I get their eggs and I think their eggs look weird. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
A weird moment that we don't know what food is supposed to look like. How are we ever going to grow our own food and live off of this, away from this system, withdraw consent from the system if we don't even know what food is supposed to look like? So,
on the other side of that system, too, is you've got farmers. I live in a very rural area, And like I said, they want to harvest their crops and they want to trade. If you've got something to offer, you've got food. So I don't think everyone needs to be a farmer, but I think everyone needs to have a marketable skill, for sure.
Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't hurt to put some chickens or plants or whatever, you know, on you got property for it. But yeah, like I that's if someone recently, and I was at a karaoke bar, and this guy said something like, "Oh, why am I throwing my body at the capitalist machine?" And I thought about that, and I had some back and forth. I'm not going to go over, but what it is like I don't know anything about farming. I don't want to farm, and it's not enjoyable to me. Like I want someone else to do that for me. I want someone else to dig my well for me. I want someone else to build my house for me. Like I don't want to have to learn all that crap. So that's what the capitalist machine is for. So I can just drive a truck, which I like doing, and pay somebody else to do stuff for me. Like that's what it's all about. When you break it down.
Yeah, that's totally right on. Except for when the government gets involved, and that's really the whole point here is that.
Yeah.
If we can free ourselves from this, we can get back to a cooperative economy and not have to worry about having to work three jobs to feed our families.
And
well,
it's about, really, it's about consent. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, or maybe we do need the government involved because who sets the price of food? Like over here, I can't get any lettuce. My guy at the market said, I haven't had lettuce in a month. I said, no shit. I haven't bought it. I've been eating other things. And now he has romaine lettuce, three little romaine hearts in a bag for $6.99. That's insane. We might pay $1.99. Now it's almost $7. Nobody's going to eat lettuce. Who's to blame for that? I think we need, there needs to be some sort of a and dare I say it, equitable solution to the price gouging situation that they have.
But it's not price gouging from
capitalism.
The markets. The problem with that is the supply chain. Like fuel's been up. It's harder to get goods out there. So that's and there's also the money printing that's been going on from the Federal Reserve that's been driving up prices because it's driving down the value of the dollar. That's where that's coming from. And the fuel shortage, like before the current regime got in there, the Biden administration, like we were fuel independent. We were energy independent. We were making our own fuel, and it was great, and we could do that again.
But it's
not the market that's causing that. It's,
no, because here, we couldn't get avocados. Avocados was like, unheard of.
Seven avocados on my counter. I don't know what you're talking
right
about.
Now, I've got three on the ground right now. So, but seven. Now the avocados are like jacked up like 49 cents a piece. There's no rhyme nor reason. But now lettuce is $7. So you can't tell. There is a level of fuckery that's going about in the market that needs to be someone's hand needs to be slapped. To always say that we'll never have supply chain issues, and then, but we do have supply chain issues. And it's all.
And this railroad shit is weird.
Yeah.
The railroad, yeah.
Well,
and the shipping. Yeah. I don't know what was going on with the port in San Diego, but I saw the pictures and stuff with all the ships just piled up there waiting to get unloaded and everything. And I don't
that
know
was
what that was about. Oh, okay.
Is there,
Long
is
Beach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see on my expressway, I'll see a big container, a green container on the back of a truck, and it says Evergreen. And all I can think of is the Panama Canal. I'm like, did they just get that?
Suez Canal, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. Panama Canal.
No, Panama
Suez,
is in South America. Suez is in the Middle East.
South America. Panama Canal is the supply chain. It was the Panama. Suez is.
Yeah, I've actually been through there
but
once. That was on a supply run.
I'm like, are they now just getting all that clean? Where are all these ships have been backed up? It's like, are they in limbo? Are they just slowly getting them?
I don't know.
My theory
I think.
Okay. No, you go ahead, Jeff. No, go
well,
ahead.
I think that it's an issue with the labor at the docks, the people, you know, doing the unloading the ships and moving the containers and everything. Because the truckers were piled up there too. It seems like the choke point is the actual port. And
yeah.
So I think it was a problem with the labor there at the port, but I'm not sure.
I think it was a problem. Okay. So this is what I know about the port of Long Beach and where the biggest bottlenecks were. And it had to do with automated ports because there were, you know, in my opinion and my research, and I hope I'm wrong, but automated ports were set up so that if you put a diplomatic label on a container, on a shipping container, it could have whatever it wanted to, you know, whatever, you know, nuclear, you know, and there was nobody who could search it, right? And especially when it was automated, right? Because when they're not automated, you suspect something that's like really bad in there. You can bring somebody who has a high enough, you know, security clearance in the middle, you know, in the government to search if you really highly suspect, get judges involved in all of this. However, in automated ports, there was no process of that. And I think there was a tip off where everything that was, you know, the whole port was shut down because of this investigation of a diplomatic process. That's my theory.
Could that have anything to do with, I heard that Trump did pass a law while he was still in office that because of that, that everything that had that diplomatic red flag, it had to be hand searched. He could not enter the country because he knew. So this is interesting. So this has never been actually rectified. It is reality, and they're covering it up with the whole COVID bullshit.
Who is the congressional representative for Long Beach? Who's the congressional?
I don't know.
Congressman.
I don't know.
Adam.
Let's look it up.
Shit.
Oh, fuck Adam me Schiff. With that. Really? Mr. Pedophile? Mr. Bug-Eyed Pedophile?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
I know, you know, listening to your mom talk about the things that go on, and I just think, okay, they've already destroyed the country. We knew this was going on. Adam Schiff is still in office, for fuck's sake. Liz Cheney, they are doing so much disastrous, horrible things to this country. And we see what kind of people they are, and their constituents, to not have them. What is the word when they want to get them out? They can do their own little impeachment process.
Impeachment.
It's not impeachment. Mm-hmm. It's like sequestered, but that's sequestered. There's a word for it. I can't remember. But
okay.
They blindly just let him be his evil, disgusting self. And then look what happens in his the area where he's in charge of. And yes,
right.
I'm like, oh,
how many coincidences until it's not a until it can't be a coincidence, you know?
No, it's not. It can't be. Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, there's something that I want to kind of bring up, if it's okay, from the the grooming thing, like just one thing that I thought because there's a lot of trans people and drag queens out there that are perfectly fine people that have nothing to do with grooming children or anything. And I think that a lot of them are probably kind of pissed off about being used as a shield for this kind of activity. I think I actually, now that you mentioned it, I think I've heard of that, but That kind of pisses me off, too, because they're perfectly decent people. They're perfectly decent people being used as a shield for, you know, nefarious activity like that. And that kind of pisses me off about that. I just want to throw that out there. Maybe you could get someone on the show from that group or something. That might be interesting.
My original co-host is Ty. He is a drag queen and entertainer.
Oh, there you go, then.
you know, and absolutely against pedophilia and fights against it and all of that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of like
all right, so you already
some of the
that.
Things that Bill is based on is that there are, you know, members of these communities. It's like no matter what community, when we're talking about the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, Boy Scouts of America, all of these other, you know, organizations that that molested children over the years, that's fine. Those are lawsuits. Every time you turn on the radio, there's lawsuits about, like, you know, the Catholic Church, you're abused by the Catholic Church and blah, blah, blah. Fill in organization, right? But when it comes to the gay community, it's off limits to talk about it. And it's like, no, well, okay, wait a second. Why are we doing this? Why are we excluding an
entire
community?
That's why we need people like Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because it does happen in that community. And I'm not saying it's the majority or whatever. Even if it's five kids, let's look at the community. Let's look at every community that molests children. And why is it so hard for you know, a certain population of people to think that this is, you know what I mean, that this is okay to look at this population for pedophilia? Why is it that we can't look at it?
I don't think you can – there's a single, like, community, I guess you would call it, anywhere, or organization where there's kids, where there's not some of that happening, sadly, right? But, like,
exactly.
That's the reality of it.
So why
so
is this off
everywhere that – yeah, everywhere – yeah, and that's the thing. It shouldn't be – and I agree with that. It shouldn't be off limits, but
and the fact
the
that there,
the
and
shield,
the fact
it's pretty
that
awful.
It's kind of like a pendulum, right? Like, when we're talking about this subject in particular, when it comes to children and the, you know, LGBTQ community, it's like, okay, plus, question mark, no, I'm not, you know.
Right. Hashtag.
But, yes, but so when it comes to this community, it's like the blowback on this is so much that, like, it's hard for me to comprehend they're not covering up for something. You know what I mean? Like, groomer is absolutely, you know, when you look it up in the mental health books, excuse me, they talk about grooming and talk. It's a psychological problem, issue.
Part of the big problem too with grooming is I think a lot of the things that, I don't know a lot about it, but my understanding is that a lot of it is things that are said or something. I mean, I don't really want to learn about that stuff because it just kind of disgusts me. But it seems like maybe a lot of the stuff that's involved in that, the actual activity that's happening, can seem kind of innocuous, and it's kind of hard to make a law against certain things. And that's why I really think that it's got to be on the parents to protect their kids, because I don't know that the law can really handle that, because you might be starting to make laws that infringe on other things that are unintended consequences. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's so subtle, right, as I understand it, right, correct me if I'm wrong. But that's why parents just need to be educated and need to, you know, watch out for their own kids. I don't really think there's a legal solution until certain lines are crossed, obviously. But I think that it's going to have to be the parents that protect their kids. And then there's also
the whole point of grooming, though, is, John, that's the whole point of grooming, is that, you know, until certain lines are crossed, the information that is given to these children, the programming that is given to these children, we can start calling it programming if grooming is off limits now, but I don't like taking away words. But it's programming from a young age. And it's, you know, it's documented. There's FBI, you know, training manuals on how to deal with people who are, you know, programmed or groomed or, you know, and it goes up from there. It goes to, you know, a very bad place from there. They, you know, where they're, you know, multiple personality disorder because of these childhood childhood traumas, right? Like, there's a whole spectrum.
Sure.
And so the fact that you know, that the media and the information source is pushing back on these certain things and trying to build a culture of this is okay. And you know, you're there was a New York Times article that said that pedophilia was a disorder, not a crime. And they just went and laid out how, you know, it's not your fault, right? There's such a cultural push to normalize this. That's why I call it.
Right. Now, normalizing it is always a bad idea. No, I definitely agree with that. I mean, until someone does something, you can't, like, we can't have a department of pre-crime, right? But, yeah, definitely yes, normalizing it is a bad idea. I agree with that. I'm sorry, what was that?
I said we do.
No,
the
right.
But let me interject this and you guys discuss about this. Remember not too long ago when it was really hard for gay couples to adopt children? And then because of all these things. And where are they? Where is their voice in this? Because this went from exactly what everyone was like, oh, dear God, we can't have them have kids. And then now we've got this craziness of, you know, pedophiles have feelings too. Where are their – they were like the best parents, two loving people that want to have kids. Where are their voice? I wonder if they're not being suppressed or are they taking – because that seems to be a total echo chamber or a void in this entire thing.
Yeah, that's
true.
I don't think it's been studied. Mm-hmm. I think those kind of topics are not allowed to be studied in mainstream science. You know what I mean? Like, there was a study that came out years ago that said, you know, science proves that a man and a man and a woman can raise a child as good as a man and a woman. And even back then when I was in my neoliberal spell, I was like, I was kind of pissed off about it because two people should never be solely responsible, in my opinion, for one child. It should always be a village. And I'm not saying that the village has to do with governmental control. But what I'm saying is that we've cut our elders out of the process, right? Like, elders stayed home. They slowed down. They retired. They raised grandchildren, essentially, because when you're talking about historically, the parents were on the farm or providing for the family in whatever way that they could. But the grandparents, and then when you go back even further, you know, Native American cultures and things like, even back then, it irked me that the science, only recognized two people as solely responsible for mentally, physically, emotionally raising a child. It should always be a village, you know, and somewhere along the line that got perverted to the point where, you know, where we are now. And I don't know. What do you guys have to talk about?
Gay couples have parents and gay, you know, they have grandparents. They're no different than us. It's just the drag queen shows in libraries now are, it was, you know, all the pedophiles, they gravitate towards, you know, the church and towards the Boy Scouts and towards, you know, teaching special ed kids and things like that. Now the actual groomers are going to where? The libraries where they have story time. And it's up to, like John was saying, the parents not to take those children to that library if this is like, no. You only take it. But,
well, it's kind of interesting. That's just a really quick side note.
The media.
Somebody once said. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, I have a comment on the same-sex parenting, but you know, I can go back to it if you want.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that I don't think a man can ever be as good of a mother as a woman can be. I think there are things that women naturally have as mothers that men don't, and vice versa. Having said that, though, I think a gay couple, like two guys, doing their very best to raise a child can do much better than the average male-female couple does. So I would say, like, the potential. Right. So I don't think that's a bad thing. And that's something that, if you know Dave Rubin, he and his husband made kids somehow. I don't know all the details. But, you know, and that's what he was saying.
Well, I don't think that it came out of one of their vaginas.
Yeah, no. Like, they – look, it's their business, so I'm not going to go there. But that's just what I wanted to say is that, yeah, you know, like, two men don't have – there's something maybe that they're missing that a man and a woman would have. But, like, so many parents are awful parents or maybe just, like, okay parents but not great parents. And, like, they have kids, and it's fine. So, like, if two guys, they're doing the best they can raising a kid, and there's so much effort because they can't just naturally make a kid together. There's so much effort, you know, they have to go through to have a child that this isn't somebody that just, like, oops, there's a baby, you know, that they're planning that, they're putting resources into it. Like, people like that really want a kid. They're going to put in the effort, generally speaking, to do a good job as parents. So I think that is fine. And that's all I want to say about it.
And to add on to that, I think Lily said it the best last week. You know, the gay culture, that effort to have family time at the gay bar. It was like a family event. And then it was like, this event's over, and now we're doing our adult stuff.
That was a pride event.
Right? And so that was like, cool. But we've taken, and now it's kind of like, how is a drag queen having story time at a library? Family time. And it's like, that's the family's decision whether or not they think that's appropriate or not. Let's see how many families go there, and if that's what that family wants to do, more power to them, but you can't force it upon us and make it curriculum in the school. And then on the other side, I saw some really disturbing protests in Ohio this weekend of the militia that embarrassed me because it was like, you know what, to bring violence across the street from an activity that they were having in the library, that's kind of like, you know what, you've overstepped. That's their decision. You don't, nobody's forcing you to bring your kids to that. And that's what everyone forgets is that it's there, it's being presented to us. Whether we partake in this is our own personal decision. And
yeah,
it's almost,
I know,
like,
but those kind
you
of
know,
people
and it,
almost
and it
feel
is,
like they're safe.
But
like,
it is grooming.
That?
Well, I don't, you know, let's see how many people are at these events. Are they over hyper sensationalizing these things for us to think that it's okay to do this, to get us to want to do this? How many people are really taking their kids to these things? A crazy few of them, you know, that are bought into this?
I think that's probably
you know,
true.
And then
go ahead, sorry. You're not done.
Oh, and then it's getting everybody whipped into, you know, taking sides in contentiousness and whatever to dilute from the fact of what is really good, healthy, appropriate environments for children. And like John was saying, when you get to the point of let's see where the law is in that line, that thin line of what is appropriate and what is not. And if there's going to be more people on one side saying this is absolutely not acceptable, age appropriate, we're over here in our camp. And if this is going on, let's see how close you're going to get to that line, to cross the line into breaking the law. Or how many people, which way is our society really going to go? Instead, they're like clouding the waters so nobody can actually see what's going on with all of this hate mongering sort of is what I'm kind of seeing. And then it's like, They'll throw in the all the catchphrases, homophobic, transphobic, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of like, we know what's right and what's wrong and what is healthy. And we're losing sight of what's actually healthy for a little child to have. It's healthy for a little child to have two loving parents. And it doesn't matter if it's two men or two women, as long as they're healthy, loving, and it's a loving environment without threat of anything. and it goes for whomever, whether it be a single mother or a single father or two young kids that have are in a struggle. And let's hope that the grandparents are around to help young couples, as they always usually have been in the past. You had that extended family thing going. And every family has different values. And it's kind of, you know, we have to learn to all live together. But you get that clear defining factor of what is wrong with having a young child around any kind of sex. I think that's the taboo area. Children should not be around anything that's sexual. And I think that we need to find a common ground and say, absolutely, this is what's wrong. And let's define what is sexual and what is not age appropriate.
I think that it has a lot to do with the difference between gender identity
really
and sexual preference.
Are we going to entertain mental illness? That's where we're at. What is biology?
Okay, hold on. I have a breaking news story.
Okay.
My account has been restricted on Facebook for 29 days. I can't go live. I cannot advertise. And I can't start or join any calls for 29 days. Why?
Because
I said, yep, just now. Because I commented on a post and I said, we created Al-Qaeda. And that was a terroristic threat.
Oh, geez.
That's what
they said. No, I think it was back in...
So I think...
I don't know. No, I'm sorry.
I think you should join the white paper protest because we're really living in North Korea. If you cannot voice your opinion... on something that's so, Al-Qaeda is so 1990s.
I mean,
you know, it's so.
There's a paper trail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you could
them.
Probably say
funded
it on Twitter
them.
Now.
We armed
there you
them.
Have an opinion. Mm-hmm.
Trained them. Do you remember the Taliban back in the 80s or where, you know, the CIA was putting out, like, you know, videos about, like, propaganda videos on how we're training the Taliban, right? Where do you think the Taliban came
mm-hmm.
from?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there so much money missing from the Pentagon budget? Why are people lacking in basic skills?
And then in 2012, when Ron Paul was running for the Republican nomination, he was talking about blowback, like he got booed and laughed off the stage. But, you know, like we're living it now, so...
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah, he was right about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been a
God,
great president.
God, I wish I had that speech. I really wish I would. I had that wrong. Actually, you know what?
Which
I think
one?
I might have time to say it. The what if speech?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. There's one where they've got the "To Live Is to Die" music in the background from Metallica. Like I've watched that many, many times just because it juices me up. I like it.
And
might have gotten that for me. I think I put it on Facebook a few times.
Cool. But as we're arguing over...
I'm trying to find it now, you guys keep going. I'll find it and I'll play it in a bit.
Okay, cool. Our actual liberties of being able to have freedom of speech are being taken away slowly. And we're all, you know, yes, Facebook is kind of funny because it's Facebook. It's not real life. But it is our town square right now.
It's
and
a battle,
for anybody to take our First Amendment rights away, that's criminal. And while we're fighting over, you know, drag queens and libraries, over in China, people are actually going to their death right now over speaking their mind right now.
But we've got to sort our own stuff out though, you know, before, you know, dealing with China. I think is
we need to focus.
Like, we've got problems here.
Unreal. Well, you know what? There are problems everywhere, and the problem is that there's there's tyranny all over, and we're letting it grow like a cancer by focusing upon. Here, all our money goes to Ukraine for democracy, but nothing goes to Hong Kong, Hong Kong, and now China, and you know, here.
But it goes back to the blowback thing too, and funding Al Qaeda and things like that.
But you know, to know history and repeat history is now a crime, apparently.
Sure, but I think that there's a battle for the free speech in our country right now that's going on, and I think that we've had a lot of gains and a lot of wins recently. And for one, the big thing, Twitter. With Elon Musk buying it, I think that's going to be an overall win. Like, I'm sure there will be things that he does with it that aren't like the greatest, but I think overall it's going to be a huge win. And I think ultimately what's going to happen with things like Facebook, I think what's coming, maybe after 2024, we'll see, but I think what's coming is Facebook is going to have to decide whether they're a platform or a publisher. And if they want to curate what's on their website, they're going to have to be a publisher, and they're going to be legally responsible for anything anyone puts up on it, which would bankrupt Facebook. But I think that's coming. I think it'll take a few years yet, but I'm pretty positive on the First Amendment direction, where things are going with it. And I know it seems bad right now, but I think that ultimately we're going to see a better place with that over the next maybe 5 to 10 years.
What are your thoughts on the digital credit system that is looming over the entire world? Digital.
Yeah.
The digital
Your
license.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't gotten mine yet, but you have that one ID. Whatever it's called that they wanted to implement in 2021. I still have 2 more years before I have to get it. But that basically is...
I'm getting a passport. I don't give a fuck. Getting that shit.
I know, but you're not going to be able to get it unless you jump through the hoops at a certain point in time.
Yeah, I'll
and
get
that's
a passport.
But they won't be able to... You won't be able to renew it. Once they implement this credit system that they want, you're not going to be able to function in any place without...
Is it like a social credit system, like what China's
it's
got going?
It's a social
credit system. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so it's
and
not
they're doing
money.
It in Australia. They want digital. They want digital money to be able to control you with it. And it's they're testing it out throughout the whole world, but eventually that's coming.
Well,
what do you think about that?
Well, the money is already controlled with debt because we have fiat currency with the Federal Reserve, so that's already there on that. Like the dollars that you have, you know, they're being devalued constantly. So that's already in play. I'm not sure. Like I don't know about like the monetary thing. I don't think that a digital form would be really like you mean. Like there would never be cash. Like no more cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah,
they still want to get rid of cash.
Cashless
society.
I don't think we'll go that far.
Economic form.
Yeah, I don't think we can.
Okay,
before we get too off the subject, I found the clip. Can't play the Metallica one because of copyrights.
It sucks.
I know. Maybe I'll own up Metallica and see if I can get them to waive the rights. But now, I do have the speech, so let's listen to it. It's only 3 minutes.
All right. Yeah, it's a great one.
Madam Speaker, I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is military intervention and managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the wars that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if Christianity actually teaches peace and not preventive wars of aggression? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good. And I yield back the balance of my time.
It gives me chills every time I hear it. I love it.
I was just picturing the background music, but he's so right on.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of, and it's like a little bit of predictions, I think, were a little bit off, but like that, the whole, like just the general thought on, and we need to mind our own business around the world and stop, you know, getting into the internal affairs of foreign nations. I don't know what year it came out.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
And what's sad is I don't think there's anyone in Congress like Ron Paul anymore. Like
2009.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
There's
so
nobody
much.
Like
I'm
him.
So bad
left.
There isn't. Well, you know what?
Well, okay, so 2009 means he was
Josh.
Right about all of it. Because he wasn't talking about, you know, he was talking about 9/11.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, it was 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It was, there's nobody left much like them. It's pretty sad.
There's a couple of them, but they're demonized.
Are you talking
as,
about
as
AOC?
Always.
Come on, just admit it. I'm kidding.
No.
And his son is all right, Rand Paul, but, I mean, he kind of plays the game a little bit, too. But...
Oh,
he's not as serious as that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. Oh, God. Trey. I was even thinking about him. Trey. Now he's a Fox. Yes, he disappointed me so badly because he was a fighter.
What was he
just
saying?
Like.
I'm
oh,
not,
God. He was,
not familiar.
He was doing congressional hearings left and right. And, of course, they didn't want to do anything about it. I believe he got voted out. He didn't get voted back in. And
no, he retired. He resigned. Like, he decided to not run.
Did he? Did he? Yeah. Or perhaps he was disgusted with this.
Look at, okay, John, look him up. He was on the House Investigative Committee.
Who, Trey?
Trey Gowdy.
Benghazi.
And he looked.
I think, wasn't Benghazi?
He was on Benghazi, too, yeah. Home?
Yeah, and they did nothing about it, and I think he got disgusted if that was the case. Because the heads should have rolled.
John, as a serviceman, like, I would love to, I know we're going to run out of time soon, but I'd love to get your opinion on Benghazi. It's like this guy, you know, bunch of people lost their lives and were sodomized and, like, all kinds of torture just for, you know,
Look, and the worst part of that, really, and that's all horrible. Don't get me wrong. That's horrible. But the worst part about Benghazi is it created the migrant crisis in, I don't know, was it 2015, 2016 in Europe?
Yeah.
And, and you think we've got problems with pedophilia here? Like, look at England with the literal grooming gangs raping 12 and 13-year-old girls. And getting away with it because they don't want to be racist. The cops don't want to be racist.
Yeah,
there's open slave trade in Libya.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like things got much, much worse out of that. I don't fully know the reasoning for it behind. Like what? I'm sure it was something sinister, but I mean, I don't know why they wanted him dead or what the deal was, and unless they wanted to cause the migrant crisis, but I know Hillary Clinton was connected with it because she was pretty happy about it.
He was resisting the World Bank.
I don't know. Looking back, in hindsight, it seems like systematically they want to destroy each and every society from within.
It's globalism. What do you think? Like they want a global society, right? Yeah.
Well, for
sure. Yeah, I think that's also what Iraq was about.
It is.
Saddam was trading his oil for euros and going around the dollar. And I was there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, to me, it's something that, you know, and it was important, you know, to understand what I was fighting for. And what I was fighting for was the petrodollar, which, I mean, seems kind of bad, but at the same time, like, that's what's holding up our economy. And what a lot of people don't get, especially big government people that want all these programs and all this spending, is that the only reason that we can have all of this money is because we've done things like invade Iraq and Benghazi in Afghanistan. Like, that's how the petrol dollar is kept going. There wouldn't be any value in the dollar otherwise. And we can have sound currency again, but we can't have all the social programs with the sound currency. There's just not enough. So people that love these big government programs and spending, it's like, well, it's blood money. I mean, I was out there.
I don't love big government spending, but I also know that they're, you know, the national debt is, you know, at 20, you know, even if you, before COVID was at $21 trillion. And we are just missing, whoops, $21 trillion missing from the Pentagon, you know, budget. I mean, that's pretty basic.
Well,
that they're stealing
this
money.
The national debt, though, it can't go down, right? Because the way it works is money exists because we have a Federal Reserve System. Let's say, for example, there was $0 in existence, right? And the Federal Reserve says, okay, it creates $100. But it doesn't just give the $100 over, like it's a loan. So basically, you borrow $100 from the Federal Reserve. That's all that exists, right, in this example.
But
there's interest.
Who?
The Federal Reserve. The central bank.
And who is that?
Who gets the loans? Oh, well, it comes out in home loans. Like when you take a loan out from a bank, the money comes from Federal Reserve.
If you take a loan out from a bank, it's like that. But who is – okay, when we're talking about U.S. dollars, who is the U.S. asking for dollars from? If not
the Federal
from
Reserve.
Ourselves. Well, exactly, which is a separate entity, right? So the Federal Reserve needs to be abolished. You know,
and
the easiest way to do that is for all of us to realize that our money is shit and to turn our backs on it.
Right, but the problem is, so all the money that is printed, so let's say in my example there's $100 in existence, but we owe $105, like let's say if it's 5%. So you see the problem that there's not enough money in existence to pay back the debt because we owe more than, or someone does, well, through various means, right, through home loans and shit like that. Well, sure, but I mean overall, I'm talking about like everybody. I'm not talking about individuals. But so more money is owed than what even exists. So it's impossible to pay off the debt, and you can't really even pay down the debt. It has to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's how because of the way that the fiat currency in the Federal Reserve System works.
Right,
and it's
going to
ramp up,
right?
Huh?
And that's what Molyneux fights against, right?
One of the things, he's a narco-capitalist, so, I mean, he's against, you know, a lot of things, anything that's not voluntary. I mean, Ron Paul, actually, I learned a lot of that from Ron Paul and various sources, but that's one of the things. But Molyneux, I really liked his work with his call-in show, and he would have people call in and, like, really dig in to a lot of issues that they had, and he really did a good job of putting responsibility where it belongs. Because if you had a shitty childhood, like your parents are the ones that are responsible for your childhood, like it's their fault. And you don't have to hate your parents, but you have to put the blame where it belongs. Because if you don't, if you make excuses for your parents for the shit that they pulled, you're just going to do the same shit. You're going to make excuses for yourself too. So, and it's not about hating your parents or anything like that. And the other half of it is you can blame your parents for where you're at, maybe, right? But you cannot blame your parents for where you go. So, it's about putting responsibility where it belongs, understanding that, and then, okay, well, what am I going to do now? Because now I'm in charge of my life. So where it goes from here is up to me.
Right.
And that's a really powerful message, and that helped me out a lot.
Right.
That's
sovereignty
that
right there. That's personal sovereignty. That's not, you know, relying on any systems or any ancestral line or any past trauma. That's relying
right.
on you and you as a sovereign being. And that is the most powerful, you know, lesson that we can learn in our lives.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to put the responsibility where it's going. And the other thing is, like, anything that happens when you're an adult, anyways, like it's different when you're a kid, but when you're an adult, everything that happens in your life, you should, I tell everybody this and I do this, like maybe a bad thing happens to you and maybe it's mostly not your fault, you know, but try to find a way to take some kind of responsibility for everything that happens in your life. Because even if it's like 90%, like somebody just did something shitty to you, but if you can take a 10% responsibility of like, okay, well, I could have done this other thing different, then you have power in your life. Because if you just blame other people for shit, even if it's mostly not your fault, you know, don't do that because then you have no power in your life. It might happen again. It's complete. Because if you don't have control and something bad happens to you, how do you know it's not going to happen again? You have no control over it because it's just random, you know? Like, an example, I guess, let me give you an example. So, like, you go into some seedy part of town, and you get mugged, right? So, are you at fault for getting mugged? No, not really. But you could take, like, a little bit of responsibility and say, all right, well, I'm going to carry a gun with me now, you know, get a concealed carry permit. Or you could say, I'm not going to that part of town in the future because I shouldn't have gone that route. And it's not about blaming yourself. It's about taking control of your life from some traumatic experience, you know, so you don't have to be in a mindset where this could just happen again at any time. And you can be in a safer place where, okay, this isn't going to happen again because I have some control in this situation. So you should always take some level of responsibility for every bad thing or, well, good things too. You know, you want to be responsible for the good things that happen in your life too. But anyway, that's my rant on that.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. You know what's funny is that you would so get along with the gay drag queen who is still our, you know, friend of the show, but was my original co-host. And it's so funny because it's like such opposite ends of the spectrum, but that's, you know, what he really did was like, how you know, you cannot say that you're oppressed and still have access to Chipotle. You just can't do it. It's just not, you know, it's like that's not what oppressed is, right? And just would you know, rail on the system, you know, just how I think, you know, you know, this is your first time here, but I think you know about the system more than most of the people out there. And so I really do applaud you for understanding it.
Yeah. Well, this is like life wisdom that I've gathered through a whole lot of hell. I mean, like I've said, I think I mentioned one thing that happened to me while I was a kid, but like my household just overall was really garbage. There's a lot of fighting and yelling and breaking things, and my mom hit us with a tire iron sometimes. Like it was shit. And then I joined the Marine Corps. I served a couple of combat tours, which, you know, has its own shit. I've been divorced twice. That's kind of recent. But, you know, it's like I kind of put myself through the ringer and been through the ringer. And some of it wasn't my fault. And some of it I put myself into. And like, you gain a lot of toughness and a lot of, like, wisdom through life when you live that way. And I think that I've had quite a journey to sort of, you might maybe call it like a trial by fire. And one of the most important things is when you're doing that and going through that is you can't lie to yourself. And that seems simple, but it's not, because you go through something traumatic, like there's a temptation to just kind of throw a rug over it, and because you don't want to look at this bad thing that happened to you, you don't want to acknowledge it because it's hurtful. But if you want to grow, you have to do that. And I think a lot of people just can't because they're not tough enough, and that's okay. Like, I'm not criticizing or whatever, but it's a tough road. And if you can do that, like, you gain a lot of wisdom, and your life gets better eventually.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Elizabeth, we only have a few minutes left. I would love your thoughts on this.
Well, I couldn't help but think about karma. You know, we all have a lesson, a life lesson to learn when we're here. And some of us are living through past karma, perhaps. And if we are aware of repeating and learning our life lessons, we have gained so much in this life that we lead. And I think we can't move forward if we continue to blame people. The personal responsibility is a very, very important aspect to that. And our society, I'm listening to NPR, because I don't have TV anymore, so I got this NPR playing all the time, and it has occurred to me that the society that we live in, the young folks that are now on the airwaves, they are the most self-absorbed creature on the earth. And I just thought, we are so lost if this is what we're taking their thoughts as being prophetic, that they are so so consumed with themselves. They're they really need to take a step back and look at the whole world and what you can do for humanity, not what humanity is doing to you. And it's like we've almost gone into the fetal position. It's like it's time to birth, time to grow up and flourish as a species. And I think we're kind of going the other way. And I think it is. It's a great time to start preaching personal responsibility and the theory of karma. That some, you know, not all of us are going to
have
a beautiful life.
Left. Thank you guys so much for being here. John, you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. All right, maybe I'll come back.
It's been great meeting you, man.
Yes, please
do. Love having you on.
All right.
Do come back.
Talk to you soon.
You too, man. Drive safe.
Bye.